Silver Streaks Football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL is brought to you by Galesburg Electric on South Henderson Street in Galesburg, by Bates Collision Center on East Main Street in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. By Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee, by Craddy Insurance, 1197 North Henderson Street in Galesburg, for all your insurance needs. By OSF St. Mary Medical Center, this is healthcare. By Crop Production Services and Dyna Grow Seed. By Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg. You better call Dave's. By Galesburg Nissan, just off the square in downtown Galesburg. Once a customer, always a friend. By McDonald's in Galesburg and Knoxville, I'm loving it. By Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. And by Thorne's Pets and Supplies on North Seminary Street, building a better bond between you and your pet. We're proud to bring you Silver Streaks Football on WGIL.
Van Dyke Field for homecoming festivities between the Galesburg Silver Streaks and the Quincy Blue Devils. I'm Brad Benowitz, along with Jim Lee, Chaz Pig, our studio engineer, for high school football week 7. The Silver Streaks will play two of their final three games at home, and those two opponents are a combined 11-1. In the last 3 weeks, the Silver Streaks opponents are a combined 17-1. The Blue Devils tonight are 5-1 overall, 2-1 in the Western Big Six, and still entertain hopes of playing for at least a share of the Western Big Six conference title, but they have to win tonight in order to do it. The Silver Streaks, although as Jim Lee said earlier during the pregame show, would not mathematically be eliminated from the playoffs, but tonight is almost a must win. So two teams with a lot to play for here this evening. Offensively for the Quincy Blue Devils, look for quarterback Mitch Merrill to get the start tonight. 6 foot, 175 pounds. He is one of one of four seniors on the skill set on the offensive side of the ball. Also look for G.W. Scott to get the start at fullback, 5'11", 230-pound senior. And then for the Blue Devils, how about two freshman running backs who will get the start tonight? Malik Robbins, 6 foot, 160 pounds, and Mikhail Wilbon at 5'8", 160 pounds. And Jim Lee, these guys are a big, big threat. The Silver Streaks have seen some awfully talented players during this season, but to have two of these guys and really unknown commodities because they're freshmen, you haven't had the experience of playing them before, this game could be wide open tonight here.
Well, it could, and you know, I asked the Quincy announcers up there in the booth tonight, I said, are we starting freshmen out of desperate need, or are these guys that good? And they said these guys really are that good. And as we watched the sophomore game, we saw the one kid.
Wilbon.
When he took it in the end zone the first time, I'm thinking, wow, he looks more like a seasoned veteran than a kid on a fresh soft team. So they're game breakers, and it's not only a concern for tonight, but as you look down the road at playing Quincy the next few years, you're going to have your hands full if they get any kind of blocking up front with two kids starting as freshmen in the backfield.
Well, and speaking of blocking, we talk about the skill set positions. We should mention the tight ends because Jim brought it up in the pregame interview portion of the show. Quincy does generally run out of the two tight end set. Drew Forrest at 6'2", 180, and Kendall Kendrick at 6'1", 180. And both are seniors, and Kendrick is definitely a threat catching the ball. Across the offensive line, a pretty good size line for the Blue Devils. Eddie Holzgraf at 6'2", 270, and Andrew Paul at the center spot, 6'2", 275. Matt Shepard and Brody Jansen are the guards. Shepard at 5'10", 220, Jansen at 6'1", 210, and Breyer Hockman, the other tackle, at 6'1", 225. Across that line, including the tight ends, Hockman is the only non-senior. He is a junior. For the Silver Streaks offensively, pretty much the same set that we've seen throughout the season. Steck, the quarterback, we'll talk about some of his numbers as the night goes along. Robert Jackson coming off just a tremendous game at Rock Island last week. Only ran for one touchdown, but he put the Silver Streaks on his shoulders and carried them throughout much of the second half as an inspirational offensive leader. Trayvon Diggins had a rather quiet game, but he still averaged more than 10 yards a carry in his six possessions last week, and he is just a sophomore. Andy Holloway also running out of the backfield. Jim Lee talked about it earlier. We're seeing more and more of Chaz Benton running out of the backfield, a senior. Nathan Mines and Gerald Carl are the wideouts, two more seniors. For the Silver Streaks across the offensive line, Kevin Hurd at left tackle, 6'2", 240. Cole Spinks, the defensive captain, also a starting offensive lineman at 6'1", 221. Ryan Ricketts at center, 6'4", 265. Matt Taylor is the right tackle at 6'2", 230. Tyler Brackett, the only junior on the offensive line, starting at 6'1", 195. He took the place essentially of Austin Finley when Finley went down with the leg injury a couple of weeks ago. But Finley is back. He's not starting tonight, but he will be a welcome addition to have the Silver Streaks back on the offensive line this evening. The other big loss is the loss of Drew Carlson, a guy who does a lot offensively and defensively. And last week, certainly, his loss was valuable in the extra point situation, in the place-kicking game and special teams. Jake Van Velser gets the place-kicking duties tonight at 5'10", 190 pounds, is a senior. And Jim, we understand Quincy's got a heck of a kicker, and you know, if special teams comes into play tonight, I guess you've got to point to the advantage to them under the circumstances.
Yeah, I was just from the punting standpoint, I was watching the kid boot out of the end zone in the warm-ups, and he really bangs that ball, gets it up nice and high. So, yeah, the kicking game, clearly an advantage to Quincy tonight. So let's hope it doesn't come down to that. We can maybe just wear him out from the line of scrimmage and not have to worry about it.
There is practically not a seat available, at least on the home side of the field tonight. Some seats available on the Quincy side of the field, which is not uncommon given how far Quincy has to travel for every road game in the conference. But Jim Lee, you've got a better look at it from your perspective because you're looking across the field. They're below me. You know, it's awfully nice to see Quincy bring a good crowd to a football game, too.
Yeah, there have been some years where they were all just sitting down there in Baldwin Gym waiting for the basketball season to start. But they made the trip up. A lot of blue over there in the stands as they follow their 5-1 team. And, you know, this is their short road trip. We consider that trip down to Quincy kind of a long night. This is the shortest trip they get to take in the Western Big Six Conference. So they're up here in force, but they're still dwarfed by the size of this Galesburg crowd. Got to compliment Galesburg High School on what they've done out here. Every home game is really sharp. This has been especially, I thought, well coordinated with everything that's gone on here tonight. A lot of people involved in a lot of different things with the homecoming royalty and the band and some alumni cheerleaders back for a get-together as well. And we're actually going to play some football, but leading up to that, it's been a real nice start to the evening. And as you mentioned, Brad, it's all magnified by what a beautiful weather night we've got down here on the field.
Should mention, too, that if you're with us here and you're looking down at the Galesburg uniforms thinking something is a little odd, something you haven't seen before, that's true. And for those of you who don't have the benefit of being here and knowing what we're talking about, some of the Silver Streaks players, not all, but more than half of them anyway, are wearing pink stockings, I guess, Jim. Are those actual socks? Anyway, it's something that the football moms organized tonight for a breast cancer awareness campaign. And it's good to see the kids get on board and be a part of that. So that's what is going on with the pink socks here tonight.
Yeah, well, I'm sure probably a player or two on Quincy that's feeling particularly ornery tonight will be in the pile and tell our guys, hey, nice pink socks.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can go up and give one guy a good shot and, you know, maybe they'll realize that real men can wear pink socks, and Streaks hoping to prove that tonight, I guess.
There are certain players on that Silver Streaks team I wouldn't be saying that
No.
But so. any team can say that about guys on their team. So we'll see how things all play out as we're finally ready to get some football underway.
I'm sorry, it's 10 after 8. I can't believe it's that late.
I was going to say, it's just the point I was going to make. I have to chuckle when you say, you know, it's Quincy's shortest road trip. So we get the latest start we've had all season long here at Van Dyke Field. Every game so far started right at 7:30, but not this one tonight when Quincy's got to make the two-hour-plus road trip home. So at 8:11, the ball is teed up on the Galesburg, on the Quincy 40-yard line, ready to get this underway finally. And Brandon White for the Blue Devils, the junior kicker, raises his arms. The Quincy crowd comes to its feet. The Galesburg crowd comes to its feet. The homecoming football game is underway with a deep kick to the near side of the field, and Galesburg just watches it bounce into the end zone, and they'll have the ball at the 20-yard line to start things off.
What a great weapon Brandon White is kicking off the football. I mean, as you said, all night he'll be a problem from the place kicks to the punts, but we've got the dangerous return men, Diggins and Jackson, who just have to stand there and watch it go over their heads into the end zone. That takes away a lot of big play potential for us.
So the Silver Streaks, Jim called them the three-headed monster, will line up out of the wing T formation. Nathan Mines puts wide to the near side for the Silver Streaks. And back on first down, Steck with the handoff up the middle, and not a whole lot of running room there for the Silver Streaks as Kevin Hurd reaches out and tries to pull his teammate forward. And that doesn't get Robert Jackson any more than a couple of yards on first down.
Yeah, big Wes Irvin in there, a junior at 220 for Quincy, and joined by teammate Jordan Huber on the tackle, 6'2", 270. This Quincy team is probably as good a size up front as we've seen a while, too. We always talk about Quincy's skill people, but they've got some bruisers up front.
Huber at 270, as Jim mentioned, and we'll go through the rest of the Quincy starting defense when we get a chance. Second and eight. Handoff up the middle. A little bit of running room for Jackson, and he gets the first down up to the 35-yard line before he's finally corralled in the secondary as Dan Girth takes him down, but a good run by Robert Jackson. We've watched Jackson run the last few weeks, and it's been very slow to develop for him early in the game, but he's run very patiently, and finally things start to open him up for him with the help of that Galesburg offensive line, and he gets a better run on the second carry of the game. He's picked up the first 15 yards of the night for the Silver Streaks and a first down. From now the 35-yard line, with the wing formation, handoff goes to the left side. A little bit more running room for Jackson that time across left tackle. Picks up about four more on first down up to the 39.
Well, and Robert, you know he's got to be so tough because he's 5'10", 165. That's not exactly fullback size, but he just he runs so hard and so determined. And he's by far and away our leading carrier, getting a lot of the tough inside yardage. And he's running into guys that are 100 pounds heavier than he is pretty consistently. Yet he bounces back up and continues to be one of the leading leaders in the conference.
731 yards rushing on the season. He averages nearly 8 yards a carry as the handoff goes to the left side. And that offensive line moves things forward pretty well. But I thought I saw the line judge on this side of the field drop a flag. I'm shielded from the flag if it's down on the field right now. Can you see one from your perspective, Jim?
I don't see it, Brad.
Well, I hope it's not there. And it is. But it's against Quincy. So the flag is waved off. And up to a third and one now after a gain of another 5, thanks largely to the push of the offensive line for the Silver Streaks. And their first third down opportunity of the night at the Galesburg 43-yard line. It'll be third and two. Silver Streaks better than 50% conversion rate on the season.
There's a delay before the snap here. I'm not sure what it is. I think they decided the flag just fell out of the official's pocket over there on the sideline.
All right. Well, that makes a lot more sense. Silver Streaks on third down of the season, 51%. This is third and two. Handoff up the middle. Trayvon Diggins breaks a tackle in the backfield and gets the first down up to the 47-yard line. Slipped through the arms of the initial tackle. That allowed Trayvon to get free across the right side of the line where the hole was, and he easily picked up the first down, and the Streaks moved the chains.
Yeah, standing a little bit behind that play, and you could see when Trayvon got to the hole, there was a nice hole, first of all, compliments to the right side of the Streaks line. But he had a couple of options. You know, the sure thing was to lower your head, and he probably could have got a couple of more going up the middle, but I think he saw maybe a chance to cut that thing outside and make a big gainer out of it. Didn't happen, but either way, we still got the first down.
Jared Carl lines up wide to the near side for the Silver Streaks. Andy Holloway in the slot right. Diggins goes in motion. Handoff goes to the left side to Robert Jackson. Good gain on first down across midfield close to the Quincy 45-yard line before he's finally brought down. The knee will take him back about a yard, and the Streaks pick up good yardage on first down up to the Quincy 46. It'll be second and two.
Nice to see that offensive line getting off the ball well here early in this one. As we said in the pregame, if you missed it, the Streaks have not started very well the last 2 weeks against Alleman and Rock Island. And even though they played great in the second half of those two games, not able to overcome a poor early start, we're trying to avoid that tonight, get a nice sustained drive, don't turn it over, and let's get an early lead.
Streaks dominated that first quarter at Rock Island last week. Rocks ran only three plays in the entire first quarter, but the one thing about it was they didn't get any points out of the deal.
Yep.
And now flags fly as the handoff goes up the middle for the Silver Streaks. Jackson got the carry. Flags came in after the play had already started. The officials are talking it over, and it is a hold on the Silver Streaks. So that's the first miscue of this opening drive. Comes on the seventh play of the drive, which started at the Galesburg 20 with no kickoff return. We're at 8:20 of the first quarter right now, and the flag will move them back 10 yards. unless there's a conference with the Quincy captains. Surely they wouldn't decline this, would they? You want to push them back into their own territory, right? Yeah, and they do.
Sure. Maybe a five-yarder, but not a 10. Well, and, you know, you mentioned last week, too, about that Rock Island game. And it was, from a lot of standpoints, we did a lot of things well early, but didn't get many points. But we kept fumbling. Well, we have four fumbles. We only lost maybe one in that first half, but we laid it down on the ground a lot. Made us nervous.
Especially in that second quarter, things got really shaky.
Yeah.
So back to second and 13. Steck on the rollout to the near side. Pump fakes. He escapes a jersey tackle. And now the pursuit comes up and stops him back at what was the original line of scrimmage. Back to the Galesburg 47-yard line. So good downfield coverage by the Quincy defense. Cut off Steck's opportunities to throw downfield. He tucked it in and gets it back to third and 10 now.
Yeah, if he doesn't pull away from the guy that grabbed a handful of jersey at the back, he might have lost three or four yards on that. So good effort by Andrew moving forward to avoid a loss.
Gain of three, third and 10 from the Silver Streaks 47-yard line. Diggins in motion, takes the toss. Now cuts up the middle as they cut him off from the outside. And Trayvon had to cut to the inside, which he did not really want to do, you could tell. But great contain by the Quincy defense. And the tackle ends up, are they going to mark him for any loss at all? I didn't think he even got back to the line of scrimmage, but it looks like it'll be fourth and 10, so the Quincy defense holds.
Yeah, he had a good head of steam, but he ran into linebacker Spencer Emmerich and a host of other Blue Devils who are more than ready for that play, and the Streaks will have to kick it away. Steck just drops a little farther behind center and will handle the punting duties.
Steck standing at his own 40. Now he rolls out on 4th and 10, and then on the run, he kicks the ball downfield, and it's fielded by Malik Robbins, who cuts up middle, and nice job by the Silver Streaks as the running punt, which we saw Steck pull off very effectively last week at Rock Island, and that allows the coverage to get downfield and prevent Quincy from making any kind of a big run back. They'll have this ball at their own 28.
Well, I suppose Andrew has the opportunity, if he sees an opening, to go ahead and take off with that thing, but you'd have to be real sure of yourself before you make that commitment. And so he gives it a kick and a nice coverage there by Jared Carl and a solo tackle, and the Streaks now on defense for the first time tonight.
First chance to see the Quincy offense and whistles just as Quincy comes to the line of scrimmage and gets set. We've got a couple Blue Devils who are clapping their hands. And it is offside. Somebody for the Silver Streaks lined up in the neutral zone. So second penalty by the Silver Streaks. The first one appears to have killed their offensive momentum as they ended up turning the ball over on a punt. And now, before Quincy even runs a play, they give him five more yards. It'll be first and five now from the Quincy 33. The quarterback is Mitch Merrill. He rolls right, looking to pass on first down, to the middle of the field. Looks downfield, open is Kendall Kendrick, and it's batted down. Good coverage downfield by Chaz Benton. Robert Jackson came out of the linebacker position to cover as well, and it falls incomplete. So, just when you think maybe you know what to expect out of this run-oriented Quincy team, they try to catch the Silver Streaks off guard.
Yeah, Kendrick initially broke open on the post pattern, but then a nice job by Benton to catch up as that ball hung in the air. Chaz actually had the best shot at it by the time it came down. Not a big surprise on first and five that Quincy
certainly
would
not
go for a home run.
Now on second and five, handoff goes to the right side. Good job by the Streaks at the line of scrimmage to trip up the running back after the initial carry. It goes right, and it goes for a gain of, what are we going to say, maybe a yard for G.W. Scott. It'll be up to just short of the 35-yard line for a gain of, we'll call it two. It'll be third and three.
I always like that at whatever level of football. You got first and five. There's just so many things. You figure you got two downs, you have to make 5 yards if you want to run some sort of gadget play or go for the home run, which Quincy did there.
Single setback lined up behind the quarterback. Merrill is Scott. Merrill on the rollout right. Now tries to step upfield. Streaks in pursuit and hit him short of the first down. Still trying to fight for that extra yard or two he needs, and I don't think he got it.
Robert Jackson actually came away from the ball with the ball. He was already on the ground on his back. He hands it to the official, and it's right over here by the sticks, but Quincy forced into a decision here early. Will they go for it with a yard and a half to go?
Now they've got the ball at the 37-yard line. Mitch Merrill comes over to check out the play from head coach Rick Little in his fourth season with the Blue Devils, coming in with a record of 17-17. I wonder if they'll line up to go for it and try to draw the Silver Streaks defense offsides. They are not in punt position. They are lining up to go for it on fourth down. And let's see, they do run it. Hand off to the left side, and the Silver Streaks defense with an enormous stop. And they'll take over on downs on the Quincy side of the field.
They went with a quick count, and we're both shocked that they went for it there. And they ran the ball right into Kevin Hurd. That was a bad choice. Big number 55 just smothered that play. And, of course, as we've talked all year, when Kevin does something good, you're going to know it. He comes firing out of there, his fist pumping, and the Streaks offense ought to be fired up after a great stop by the Galesburg defense. Three straight plays, Quincy tried to just get 5 yards, couldn't get it.
So the Silver Streaks take over at the Quincy 37-yard line at the 5:07 mark of the first quarter. And off to the right side. Big hole for Robert Jackson. Into the secondary. Sidesteps the man to the far sideline. Still in pursuit. Taken down inside the 10-yard line.
Ah, momentum. It's a great thing when it's on your side. And after that defensive stop, Galesburg certainly had it. Jackson gets a little hole and then makes that nice cut to the outside. Many on the Streak sideline thought he was going to go all the way with that, but still a good run, and the Streaks in position to jump out early here.
A gain of 31. He just doubled his rushing yardage of the night. On the sixth carry, he's up to 62 yards rushing, and the Streaks have a first and goal from the Quincy 6. Just under 5 minutes to play in the first quarter. Steck with a handoff on the keeper, trying to get to the corner, to the goal line, touchdown! Taken down at the goal line by Kendall Kendrick, but the official immediately signaled that the ball had crossed the plane, and a gutsy call by head coach Rick Little for the Blue Devils to go for it on fourth down in his own territory. Two plays later, turns into a Silver Streaks touchdown. Our first chance to see Jake Van Velser. A straight-on kicker, old-fashioned style. The Streaks trying to go up by a full touchdown. The kick is long enough, and it is wide right. But the Silver Streaks have still struck first. 4:54 to go in the first quarter. It's 6-0 Silver Streaks. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Want to lower the cost of doing business?
Keep your data safe and easily accessible.
Barracuda Networks can help. The Barracuda Backup Service is the only data storage solution that combines on-site hardware for rapid restores and cloud-based storage for disaster recovery. At just 50 cents per gigabyte per month and advanced deduplication technology to significantly reduce storage space requirements, the Barracuda Backup Service is the most affordable and efficient data storage solution for any size business. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free evaluation unit. 888-ANTI-SPAM. Or visit Barracuda.com.
Interactive sports talk with scores, expert analysis, and so much more. Fox Sports Radio, weekends on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
6-0 Silver Streaks, a homecoming lead for Galesburg with 4:54 to go in the first quarter. And congratulations to Donna Austin of Galesburg. You are a winner in the Hungry Hobo Touchdown Contest. We drew Donna's name out for the first quarter contestant, and because the Silver Streaks score a touchdown, Donna Austin of Galesburg wins a $10 gift certificate from Hungry Hobo. Her name is also entered in the final drawing for a party sub from Hungry Hobo at the end of the football season. Now Van Velser to kick off. A short spinning kick taken on the run at the Quincy 35-yard line. And a short run back across the 40-yard line. A very short kick, but D'Angelo Dean caught it upright and on the run. And Quincy will have pretty good field position at the 41. So again, the loss of Drew Carlson becoming very evident on the last two plays.
And the Silver Streaks are going to have to clearly be better than Quincy tonight from scrimmage. Because the kicking game, it is no contest. In fact, I think that is the last time you'll see us go for a conversion on a touchdown. We've got to go for the 2 points, the kicking game. That extra point barely got to the crossbar and was wide right. Our chances are better at getting the two than they are the one tonight.
So Quincy gave up the ball on downs at their own 37 on the last drive. They start this one from the 42. And the handoff goes to the freshman running back Malik Robbins, trying to get to the outside, but the Streaks contain him. Jared Carl there. Church has Benton there. He still picks up three on first down, but he's quick, and the Silver Streaks manage to contain him and hold him to a gain of three.
Well, we were able to match his quick with our quick. Chaz Benton was not going to let him get all the way outside like he wanted to with his speed. Chaz able to force him to turn in a little bit. Then he got some help there from Carl, and the defense has been up to the task through the first four or five plays tonight.
Ball short. Just short of the Quincy 45-yard line. Second and seven for the Blue Devils. Trying to tie this game, trailing Galesburg 6-0. Misdirection and penetration by Cole Spinks. And that play goes nowhere as the handoff went to Andre Givens on the misdirection. And Cole blasted right up the middle for the big loss.
Well, it was fun because it was over on this side. And you could see Cole Spinks was going through the line untouched. And I'm standing here thinking, oh, please run this way. Please run this way. And that's exactly what they did. And Spinks was all over it.
They tried the misdirection, the fake handoff once. And then with the second handoff, it did go right into number 50's midsection. And now on third and 13 for the Blue Devils, they have to get to the Galesburg 48-yard line for a first down. They'll run this play from their own 39. Merrill running right, gets a good block for protection, throws it, overthrows it, and almost picked off by Andy Holloway on the deflection through the hands of Jordan McGriff. And the Quincy Blue Devil punt team heads out after giving it up on downs here.
Yeah, the ball was off the fingertips. Forrest had a chance to get it, but he couldn't quite haul it in. And then, like you said, Brad, it became maybe an interception opportunity. And even if Forrest brings that down over here, he's still a good 3-4 yards in front of the sticks. Wouldn't have been good enough for a first down.
So from the Quincy 39-yard line, this sends Kendall Kendrick back to his own 27 to punt this one away with 3:28 to go in the first quarter. Silver Streaks leading 6-0 and anticipating getting the ball back here. Good snap into the midsection. Kendrick gets a low boot away, and Jackson takes it on the bounce at the 17. Gets one block at the 25. Another block across the 35-yard line before he's finally rolled down at the 30, just short of the 37-yard line. Good run back by Jackson of 16 yards, and the Silver Streaks get it back with 3:17 to go here in the first quarter, leading 6-0.
And one of the best hands of the night came for Stephen Harger just before that last play. He was having to sprint off of the field before they snapped the ball before the punt. And, you know, Steven's got some size, and so he was having to really haul it. And the fans on the near side, you can't miss Steven at, 370 pounds.
They listed at 385 on the roster.
Yeah, and so you couldn't miss him lumbering off the field, and the fans all like that one.
In motion, Chaz Benton. Handoff up the middle. Running room for the Silver Streaks and close to another first down right at the stick at the 47.5-yard line. A big hole. And Nathan Mines took it, or rather Jackson took it. Nathan Mines helped lead the way with the block and not even a measurement. The ball stopped just short of the 48. Good spot for the Silver Streaks and a first down. 73 yards rushing on the night already for Robert Jackson. And they move the chains on first down. We're just short of midfield now with under 3 minutes to play in the first quarter. Keeper for Steck. Fake the handoff. This one goes nowhere as he rolls right, and there were four white jerseys there waiting for him, and Steck does a good job just to get back to the line of scrimmage.
And a good fake that time because Jordan Huber, one of the big defensive linemen for Quincy, thought he made a big play. He grabbed Robert Jackson and drove him back 5 yards and threw him down, and then he looked up and Robert didn't have the ball.
But the Streaks weren't able to make much out of it other than maybe a half yard. Carl and Mine split wide left. Look, no, now Jared splits directions. He comes to the short side of the field, lines up a tight end for the Silver Streaks. Diggins, Benton, Jackson in the backfield. Diggins goes in motion and all kinds of movement by three Quincy defenders rushing toward the line, but did they get somebody for Galesburg to jump?
Well, and if we pulled them offside, you can tell the story about how the Streaks have been working on this a little this week.
And that's what happened. It is offsides against the Blue Devils. So even though the Streaks don't get much offensively on the first play, they pick up 5 yards on the penalty. And now second and a short five coming up here. In practice yesterday, the Silver Streaks were definitely running plays as Andrew Steck was barking off calls and even trying to get his own players to jump off sides, and you can definitely tell the Silver Streaks have been working on varying up the snap count, and it paid off there. So now second and 4.5. Good 5 yards to be safe, and now whistles as the Streaks come set at the line of scrimmage. And we get a timeout.
Yeah, Wes Olson didn't like something that he saw over here on the Streak sideline, called a timeout.
All right, so with a minute 58 to go in the first quarter, we'll take a break as well. Streaks lead 6-0 on homecoming. Minute 58 to go, first quarter. This is Galesburg High School football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
You sit with a towel wrapped around your wet hair, which you washed in freezing cold water, thinking of all the things you're missing. Hot showers, blow dryers, curling irons, flushing toilets, phone chargers, and Project Runway. Wasn't your last power outage experience brutal enough? With the Generac Automatic Standby Generator from Galesburg Electric, you'll never have to worry about losing power again. Electricity is automatically restored at the first sign of a power outage. Get peace of mind with a Generac Automatic Standby Generator from Galesburg Electric on South Henderson Street in Galesburg.
Stay in touch with Galesburg wherever you go and anytime you're online. Just log on to WGIL.com.
Porter at homecoming from Van Dyke Field. I'm Brad Benowitz along with Jim Lee. Chaz Big, our studio engineer. Silver Streaks lead 6-0 in the first quarter with a timeout for the Silver Streaks. Ball sitting at the Quincy 47-yard line. Streaks facing 2nd and 5 coming out of this timeout by head coach Wes Olson. And we line up in the same formation just prior to the timeout. Steck under center. Benton, Diggins, and Jackson. Diggins goes in motion. Handoff goes to Jackson. Little bit of a hole. Tripped up, still on his feet. Finally dragged down short of the 40-yard line. Looks like he got enough for another first down. Wasn't much of a hole there. He got through it, got tripped up a little bit, stayed upright, stayed on his feet, kept moving forward. And the officials want to stop the clock. And the referee says, move the chains. Don't even want to measure. I got to get the chain gang's attention. There they go. First down for the Silver Streak to the Quincy 42.
Chris Kugler, senior defensive lineman, made the stop for Quincy that time. And they're going to lose pretty heavy to graduation. They'll return a few big boys, but they're going to miss some key people. I guess every team does. Probably not quite as heavy as the Silver Streaks, though, in our senior-dominated lineup.
And again, jumping by the Quincy line at the line of scrimmage. Handoff up the middle. No flags fly, as this play will stand with movement across the 40-yard line, close to the 38. Robert Jackson with the carry. A couple of Quincy players sitting on top of each other or helped up off the bottom of the file. Give Jackson a gain of 3, almost 4 on first down. Jackson's been a workhorse. He's got 81 yards rushing. We're not even out of the first quarter yet.
And he's returned the punt. And, of course, he's an important part of our defensive secondary out there as well on many plays.
Advancement to the Quincy 38-yard line. 2nd and a long 6 for the Silver Streaks. Jared Carl lines up to the short side of the field. Across left tackle this time as Jackson gets bounced around by a couple of Quincy defenders, pushed back to the middle of the field, knocked down at the 31-yard line, and he's close to another first down. This will be very close to the stick. They'll have to call the referee in to take another look at it. Does he want a measurement? Is he going to give it to the Silver Streaks? No, he's taking a closer look. Nope, move the chains. No measurement. Another first down for the Silver Streaks.
Yeah, got it by a good half yard, and you could eyeball it over here to the Streak sidelines and move the chains. And, you know, as this season goes deeper and deeper, and especially down here on the field, Brad, I get such an appreciation for Robert Jackson. I mean, you can look at the stats, but, I mean, he's getting the ball on, probably 60% of our plays anyway, more than that tonight.
Oh, yeah, right.
And as we said, he's not a big guy for a fullback, just those bruising yards, and he ends up kind of wearing out a defense as the night goes along.
Streaks line up in the wishbone with Jackson, the up man in the set. Back to pass on first down. Steck looking left, looking long, has a man open, caught, Jared Carl, touchdown! Carl couldn't have been more wide open. And Steck found him this week. He had trouble making the connection last week, but he had hit him right in the numbers, right on stride, and the Streaks lead 12-0 with 15 seconds to play in the first quarter.
Absolutely a thing of beauty. As you mentioned last week, Andrew a little off on his throwing, too strong on most of his throws, one of which would have clearly been a touchdown. But this one, a perfect throw, and nice to see Carl out in the pass rotation because he is such a threat with his size, and the Streaks will go for 2.
Leading 12-0 after not converting the extra point earlier. Fake handoff. It does go to Jackson, and he's stopped very close to the goal line, but no. The side judge comes in and immediately signals he did not make it in. So the lead stays at 12-0 with 15 seconds to play in the first quarter. How about this night by the Silver Streaks? Jim, you talked about it in the pregame that the Streaks had to come out with a better start tonight. We mentioned last week at Rock Island, they did dominate the first quarter. They have dominated the first quarter tonight as well. The difference is 12 points on the scoreboard tonight, none last week at Rock Island.
Yeah, the execution has been outstanding here in this first quarter, and we may just have to pile up 6 and 6 and 6 because I don't know how many conversions we'll get, but that's all right. We'll We'll worry about that later, but this team has done well. And, you know, we've talked a lot about Jackson, about the throw from Steck and the catch by Carl, but it all starts up front, and the front guys have done a great job giving some holes to run. And Andrew Steck had good protection that time. You've got to let your man be able to run that route, and they protected well, formed a nice pocket around us that time as the Streaks got the win and or got the touchdown as Steck goes the distance to Carl.
Quincy still standing fairly deep. The Streaks teeing it up at the 40-yard line. Van Belser still in a kick. Now they creep forward a little bit with the two freshmen back at inside the 25-yard line, and a better kick by Van Velser this time. Spinning to the far side of the field, and Robbins takes it on the run. The freshman up the middle, bounces off a couple of defenders, and he returns it to the 40-yard line. So the Streaks managed to keep him in the middle of the field, and the hole never quite opened up for him, but man, he is fast. And he returns it to the 40, a return of 16 yards, and not bad field position, but good job by the special teams there to prevent anything bigger.
Yeah, they collapsed on that, like you said, Brad. Thank goodness. Van Velser, actually, he wanted a flag on that because one of the Quincy players came up and just leveled him after the whistle. He pleaded his case to the official but couldn't get it.
Handoff goes up the middle. Good job by the Streaks line, defensive line at the line of scrimmage. Goes for a gain of maybe a yard on first down, and that's the end of the first quarter. 12-0 Silver Streaks, an impressive first quarter by the Galesburg offense. The Galesburg defense takes over at the beginning of the second quarter with the Silver Streaks celebrating homecoming through 12 minutes of play. 12-0 GHS. This is Silver Streaks football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
I can check out books, go see my doctor, get my groceries and other necessities, eat lunch with my friends. After my car was beyond repair, I decided to try the bus. I was afraid I'd be giving up a lot by not having a car. That wasn't the case at all. If anything, it's forced me to be on time now.
Just 60 cents per one-way trip, or get a month of unlimited rides with a $20 City Pass. And if you're 65 and older, you ride free. Stop by City Hall, the transit office, or ask your driver for details.
I'm Craig McCluskey. He's Galesburg Transit. Catch us now.
WGIL and F&M Bank congratulate the Jack Larson Shoe Project, this week's Hometown Hundreds winner, nominated by Evelyn Meredith. Congratulations from WGIL.
One quarter gone at Van Dyke Field. I'm Brad Binowitz, along with Jim Leach, as Big, our studio engineer for Silver Streaks football on homecoming. First time the Streaks have been home in a couple of weeks. Quincy, meanwhile, has been on the road three of its last four games, and they trail tonight 12-0. Quincy with the ball facing 2nd and 7, and Stephen Harger has come into the game playing nose guard for the Silver Streaks, trying to get the Quincy Blue Devils to run outside. They run with trips left, three wideouts to the left side, back to pass Merrill. Now looks right as the player comes back. Drew Forrest comes back for the reception, and the Silver Streaks do a good job. Cedric Washington runs him out of bounds at the 46-yard line. So trying a little trickery, getting the Streaks defense to push to the right side of the defense, the left side of the offense, and then Merrill turned around, threw it to the short side of the field, the Quincy sideline, but the Streaks still contain, and it'll be 3rd and 6.
Yeah, we only had a couple of people over there. D. Dorich was one of them. He did a nice job because there was a guy blocking him one-on-one, and D. did a nice job of fighting him off and being able to go over there and at least contribute to the tackle.
First completion of the night. Now Quincy 0-for-2 on third downs, faces 3rd and 4 here from just short of midfield at the Quincy 46. The defense creeping up to the line of scrimmage, stunting, trying to get somebody to jump off sides. Quincy is holding, and now flags just as the snap goes. Do we have delay of game? Did they wait too long?
They did wait a long time.
And Merrill is pleading the case here, and that's exactly what it is. He's pleading his case, trying to say that the Silver Streaks were in the neutral zone. He wants an illegal formation. He wants anything. He's pleading his case, but it's going back 5 yards, and now instead of 3rd and 5, it's 3rd and a long 9.
Yeah, the Streaks were doing a lot of jumping up front there, and I think forced Merrill to wait a little bit. I think he thought maybe if he delayed the snap count, he was going to get one of the Streaks to go
offside.
I think so, too. And by the time he actually snapped it, he'd taken too much time. So now a great situation. The defense can tee off now on 3rd and 10.
Just underway in the second quarter. From the Quincy 40-and-a-half-yard line, Merrill hides the ball, rolling left, trying to get some running room, sprints up the field, and taken out of bounds just across the first down marker, but we have two flags down in the backfield.
And we got a player down over here on the Galesburg sidelines as well.
Yeah, it all ran right into the Galesburg sideline. And bodies went everywhere as they ran Merrill out of bounds.
It's Cole Spinks, but he's up. Well, this is a dangerous spot where this tackled over here. They've got that this thin green carpet over the top of the asphalt that they use for track and field.
It's a hold. Go ahead, Jim. That's going to take it back another 10.
And I tell you, I was really worried when I saw Cole just laying there because those guys, they went down hard. He and Aslan Butler as they made the tackle on Merrill. And again, you've got the rough edge of this asphalt over here and just barely covered by that green. And I thought, man, that could really knock you out. But thank goodness Cole got up and ran back out on the field. And as you said, Brad, in the meantime, we've got a penalty on Quincy.
A 10-yard penalty takes it back to third and almost 20 now, just across the Quincy 30-yard line. We've still played only 16 seconds of this second quarter. Quincy, that was the only time that the ball has crossed midfield for them, and it ends up coming back. And now the streak's again jumping at the line of scrimmage. Penetration in the backfield. Aslan Butler is in pursuit, and everybody converges just short of the 30-yard line. Absolutely nowhere to run for Andre Givens. They lose a couple more yards, and now we'll have to punt it away.
And Aslan Butler is just come on stronger and stronger as the season's gone along. We've been admiring his work on special teams, some limited roles on defense, but now with Drew Carlson out, Aslan gets the start at linebacker, showed his worth there. Great speed, great aggressiveness from the young man who's given it all he's got tonight.
Givens has run the ball three times for the Blue Devils tonight from minus eight. Andy Holloway back, Robert Jackson back, standing inside their own 40. Here comes the punt from Kendrick. Spinning end over end. Holloway takes it at the 41. Up the middle across the 45. Run down from behind at the 47-yard line. The Silver Streaks will have it just short of midfield with 10:55 to go in this first half, already leading 12 to nothing.
Good sure hands by Andy Holloway that time. Grabbed it, secured it, then took off, tucked it in, runs nice and low, picked up a few yards and went down. You know, last thing the Streaks want here with all the momentum and dominating this game is to give Quincy any sort of a break with a turnover, and Holloway did a nice job of ball protection there.
Silver Streaks playing as strong of a first half as we have seen all season long, and they're trying to build on it here now. Benton in motion. Hand off to the right side, up the middle. Not a whole lot there for Jackson. He might have gotten to the midfield marker at the 50-yard line. In fact, maybe he's laying right on the 50. Let's see where the official puts the ball. Just short of the 50-yard line. Good gain of three on first down for Jackson. He's 8 yards short of 100 yards rushing with still 10 and a half minutes to play in the first half. Second down from midfield. Streak's taking a little more time in huddle here. Go ahead, Jim.
You might hear Tom Hawkins down here yelling, hurry up, because Wes Olsen was yelling the play out. He didn't send it in, and Tom was a little concerned they weren't going to get this thing off, and they still haven't snapped it.
In motion, Diggins. Handoff up the middle. Little bit of running room. Jackson gets down low, dives forward to the Quincy 46-yard line. It'll be third and three upcoming. Our name drawn in the second quarter of the Hungry Hobo Touchdown Contest, Irene Childress of Galesburg. Good luck to Irene as the Silver Streaks are 46 yards away from scoring again, but third and three upcoming. If the Streaks can find the end zone again, Irene Childress of Galesburg will win a $10 gift certificate from Hungry Hobo in Galesburg. After a gain of four, third and three for the Silver Streaks from the Quincy 46-yard line. Handoff, no, it's stuck on the keeper. Rolling to the right side, he's got the first down and more to the 35. Down to the 30 where the Quincy Blue Devils finally converge and stack him up.
We've got a flag down, but I think it's going to be on Quincy. I think somebody got a piece of the face mask of Steck as he was turning the corner, so I'm not too worried about this one.
The referee looks to the Galesburg sideline, and that's what it is, face mask. That'll so the Streaks get the first down to the 30, and a little bit more. And
another 15 on top of that, so we're going to be knocking on the door again.
So Steck picks up 16 on the carry, only his third carry of the night. One went for the only or for the touchdown earlier. And they'll give it just an incidental face mask, so a gain of five more on the penalty down to the Quincy 25-yard line. Fourth penalty of the night already on the Blue Devils for 25 yards. Streaks are edging closer, already leading 12 to nothing. First down from the Blue Devil 25-yard line. Up the middle goes the handoff. The Blue Devils stack up Jackson pretty effectively across the 25. He'll pick up a couple of more, though.
Yeah, they're certainly not giving much in there. Jackson found a few holes early, but the last couple of possessions, every yard is hard fought. But, you know, it's still a good play because you're taking time off the clock when you're ahead and you're maintaining possession of the football. And we've shown we can throw the ball, so that's got to keep the defense a little honest here as well.
Benton lines up as a wideout to the Quincy side of the field. Up the middle goes the handoff. And pretty good movement across the 20-yard line, inside the 20, down to about the 18-yard line as Jackson with another good burst puts him over 100 yards rushing on the night now. And what is he, Jim? A couple of yards short of the first down, it looks like.
Yeah, it looks like a good solid 3 yards shy. He's got to be in such great physical shape. He didn't even take a down off.
No, on either side of the ball.
No.
Down to the Quincy 17. Gain of 6, 3rd and 2 upcoming. Silver Streaks 2 for 3 on third downs tonight. This is likely 2-down territory inside the Quincy 20. Steck brings his team set out of the wishbone. Hand off right side. Benton gets down low. Got the first down across the 15, close to the 13-yard line. Good forward push by the right side of that offensive line. Benton comes up, fired up as the Streaks move the chains again.
Yeah, that was you can notice that from the press box, too. It's really a collision when our offensive line is firing into those big defenders from Quincy. And leading the way, Ryan Ricketts, you know, you get a lot of talk from him in the preseason, but the position he plays, you don't notice him maybe so much, but he's snapping the ball and then plowing some guys out of the middle of that Quincy defense.
Seventh play of the Galesburg drive upcoming from the Blue Devil 13. Hand off left side. Streaks trying to run across center, close to the 10-yard line, inside the 10 for Robert Jackson. Down to the 9, it looks like. He'll pick up a good 4 more on first down. 104 yards rushing on the night for Robert Jackson. Streaks have a second down from the Quincy 9-yard line. They can get a first down inside the Quincy 5.
You know, we were talking about Ryan Ricketts, and it was funny last week. I never mentioned when we talked with Zach Ricketts, who's a senior out at Knox now, his older brother. When I talked to him off the air, I said, okay, so you guys still bang on each other a little? He goes, yeah, but he said the last time we did, he said he put it to me pretty good, so those days may be over.
Second and 6, single setback formation. Hand off to the right side. Robert Jackson in for the touchdown. He got across the goal line and then got pushed back, and we have a late flag coming in, which may be a personal foul on the Blue Devils. And the Streaks are on top now, 18-0. Just a huge hole across the left side for Jackson. And Quincy got there for the collision just at the goal line. And it is a personal foul penalty on the Blue Devils, which I'm guessing will be assessed on the kickoff.
Yep.
And the Streaks will likely go for 2 here again now, leading 18-0 with 7:03 to play before halftime.
You got a very short blast on the horn down here in the north end zone that time, which is all right with me.
Since you're close to that.
I'm getting older. My hearing is already impaired enough. A few more of those. But, hey, for a Streaks touchdown, you can blow it all night. That's great.
Well, if it's not the horn here, it's the cannon at Rock Island, right?
That's right.
Of course, you weren't down in the field close to the cannon last
week.
No,
it was down in the other end zone, so we were pretty safe.
Thank goodness.
Let's get a conversion here, guys.
Wouldn't that be nice? Streaks leading by 3 touchdowns, trying to make it 20-0 here. Steck brings the line set. Rolls to the right side on the naked bootleg, and he's got it. Wide open. Quincy bought on the fake, and Steck could practically walk into the end zone from the far side, and it's 20-0 Silver Streaks. 7:03 to play before the half. This is Galesburg High School football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streak Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Dickerson's Photography, timeless images for you and your family, by Office Specialists, where your office is their business, and by Shelter Insurance Agent Amy Howard on the corner of North Henderson Street and Home Boulevard in Galesburg.
This is Jeff Klink with Galesburg Nissan, wishing all the Streaks the best of luck this year. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square downtown, the area's leader in customer satisfaction. Visit us online 24 hours a day at galesburgcars.com.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
8 plays, 53 yards for the Silver Streaks. They take it from their own 47 into the end zone, the final 9 yards by Robert Jackson, who was the workhorse again on that drive. Galesburg takes 3 minutes and 52 seconds off the clock. Steck runs in the two-point conversion. It's 20-0 Galesburg with 7:03 to play in the first half, and that makes a winner of Irene Childress of Galesburg in our Hungry Hobo Touchdown Contest. She wins a $10 gift certificate from Hungry Hobo in Galesburg as a result of the Streaks finding the end zone on that scoring drive. And even better news for the Silver Streaks, the 15-yard penalty assessed on the kickoff, which Galesburg has shown a short kicking game, and of all times, Van Velser lights into one, and even from the 45-yard line, he still boots it into the end zone.
He'll be able to tell his grandkids, yeah, I kicked the ball into the end zone. Won't mention that 15-yard head start, but still a good kick for the young man who hadn't been kicking up until this year and has been pressed into duty this week.
7:03 to go in the first half. Quincy takes over. If this score is getting around the Western Big Six at all, that's got to be raising some eyebrows. Yeah, still a long way to go, I know.
And it's every bit as decisive as what the scoreboard says. Let's just hope the kids don't let down, because they've played a terrific first half. They didn't let down there.
No, Stephen certainly Harder. Not. Handoff went up the middle, and I wasn't so sure somebody for Quincy didn't get a little head start on the right side of the offensive line. There's no flag, and that's okay with the Silver Streaks, because that goes for absolutely nothing on first down.
Well, their fullback, he's a good one, G.W. Scott, big 230-pounder, but when he ran into Stephen,
It takes a couple of guys to move, yeah. Stephen.
230-pound fullback, even with a head of steam, wasn't going to move Steve on that one.
Scott, 3 carries for only 5 yards tonight. Double tight end set, 3 wideouts to the near side. Merrill, the quarterback, now looks left. He's forced out of the pocket, rolling to the far side of the field. He's got a little bit of running room, streaks in pursuit, and take him down just short of the first down marker. Good open field tackle by Chaz Benton. As that play was slow to develop, the Streaks didn't let it get away from them. He's a yard short of the first down, but it's not a first down yet. It's 3rd and 1 from the 29.
Yeah, good job by the offensive line for Quincy. They gave Merrill some time that time, and then he made a very good decision. When he came left, there was nobody here for a while, and Chaz Benton came running up and made a nice solo tackle. He really couldn't have gotten him any sooner than that, but just settled to get him right ahead of the sticks.
3rd and 1. Quincy hasn't converted a third down yet tonight. They go with a quick snap, handoff up the middle, and stopped at the line of scrimmage. Forward progress looks from here to be enough to get across the 30-yard line for a first down.
Yep. Yep, good second effort. We hit him right at the line, but he did plow forward an extra yard. And one of our guys with the pink socks, D. Dortch, comes off the pile that time, one of the tacklers for the Streaks.
Kind of a Bronx cheer from the Quincy crowd as they move the chains for the first time tonight. Their first down of the evening. And even with that, they didn't make it by much. But it's enough for a new set of plays from the Quincy 31-yard line. 5:22 to play in the first half. 20-0 Galesburg. Merrill under pressure, flushed out of the pocket, in pursuit, and the Streaks finally round him up and corral him at the 30-yard line. Kevin Hurd, with good momentum, then lost him in the backfield, and he didn't give up. Hurd kept chasing after him, and I think he's the one who finally got him first from behind, and then Dortch, Spinks, everybody Harder. Was there on that one.
Steven was there again.
Loss of a yard.
But you're right, Brad. It was Kevin Hurd that just blew that play up, because he just steamrolled his guy, Brody Jansen, who's 6'1", 210, and Kevin just blew him up backwards, and he was in the backfield, and Merrill had to run for his life that time. And a heck of a job by Kevin Hurd. He's come up big on a number of occasions here in this first half.
The freshman Malik Robbins comes to the sideline and gets a word from the coaches, so he's out on this set of plays. And a wide-open set offensively. Back to pass, as Merrill is not the quarterback. They put in the backup Casey Schuster, and he rolls on the keeper to the near side and pushed out of bounds across the Quincy 30 to about the 33-yard line. So he'll gain maybe 3, maybe 4 on second down. It'll still be 3rd and long upcoming for the Blue Devils. So a quarterback switch, as Schuster is in now for Quincy. And actually, they're going to spot it all the way back at the 32. So it'll be 3rd and 9.
And now they bring Merrill back in. Schuster's a little taller. I don't know that they consider him a little better thrower than Merrill, perhaps, and a down when they knew they were going to throw. But this looks like a passing down, too, and Merrill's back.
On the snap, he drops the ball. Merrill picks it up on the screen pass to the left side, and that goes nowhere. Aslan Butler, Tremaine Carson, flag down in the backfield. Big loss on 3rd down for the Blue Devils, and let's see what the flag is.
Boy, some nice cheers from defensive coordinator Sean Hickey for his men there. First, it was Tremaine Carson with the hit. And then, as you said, Butler came over and finished the play off. And now,
roughing the passer.
Have a penalty on the streaks. That
roughing
hurts.
The pass, and that's a big one. But is it enough for the first down? Because the stick, the down marker, is all the way back at the 23. They need to get to the 41, across the 41, for a first down. And the officials are talking this over.
Do they not give automatic first down on that?
That's what I'm wondering. I'm trying to remember. I've been away from this a few years, Jim. I'm still trying to remember all the rules.
Yeah, but you're a revived Chiefs fan. You should know all about these things now.
Of which I have not seen them once this year. Thank you very much, local TV stations. Because I'm too cheap to put out for the whole, you know, get any game you want package.
Well, you may not want to see this Sunday's game.
Well, that's very possible.
At the Colts. We're still trying to sort this one out.
Yep. A lot of discussion going on here. The referee is talking things over with the sideline. Coaching staff, I think, is trying to get an explanation on what exactly the roughing the passer penalty was. You're a little closer, Jim. Could you hear any of that?
Okay, they've got to start marking it off, apparently, from the original line of scrimmage because they moved the sticks back.
So it's a first down. The referee just signaled that.
That's what he was telling the sideline. He said, I'm going to take it from the 30 and go from there.
So it takes it up to the 47. And as we anticipate, either way, it's a first down. So they get a third down. And now Quincy, standing all the way back at the 15-yard line, huddling up, realizes, we got a long ways to go. Let's get back up there. So that 15-yard penalty against the Silver Streaks really hurts, and it moves Quincy close to midfield now up to the 47-yard line. And as close as they've been to being in Galesburg territory on the night with 4:08 to go in the first half. Back to pass, Merrill tucks it in. Pressure, Carson gets away from it, and now Merrill run down and rolled down from behind as he does get into Galesburg territory at the 49-yard line. Carson had him in the grips for a loss of a yard, but Merrill sprung free and made a gain out of it.
Yeah, you know, I said last year down there against us at Quincy, Merrill was a real problem running the ball. Now, you had compiled the stats coming into this game. He didn't look like he'd run much at all this year, but he's already being a presence. Now, granted, that wasn't maybe a designed run, but he hurt us there. Good job of getting away from Carson and Spinks.
As we said, in Galesburg territory are the Quincy Blue Devils for the first time tonight. Merrill's carried the ball only four times for 14 yards. Misdirection on the reverse. Left side it goes to the freshman Malik Robbins, and the streaks stack him up short of the Galesburg 45-yard line, and they roll him down inbounds, so the clock continues to roll, approaching the three-minute mark of the first half. And Quincy's forward progress to the 46, a gain of three, and third down upcoming, third and about four.
Well, Jared Carl over there and D. Dortch, but again, I thought the guy with the first hat on him was Chaz Benton. Benton may be we got a lot of good tacklers, but Benton may be the best. He just really squares up well, gets his helmet low, drives it right in to the defender. And he's about as good as it gets technique-wise.
Three wideouts to the Quincy side of the field as Merrill lines up under center with a single setback. Streaks again creeping to the line of scrimmage. Handoff up the middle, not a lot there for G.W. Scott. Stacked up at the 45-yard line, and he's well short of the first down, and another fourth down call upcoming for Coach Rick Little. The first one was a big gamble in Quincy territory. They did not make it on fourth down, and the Streaks two plays later had their first score of the night. This one is in Galesburg territory at the 46, and they're huddling up.
And Stephen Harger, again, big right on the nose of the ball. And, you know, we told the Quincy announcers, he just pretty much comes in goal line situations. He's been in there a lot the last two series, and he's getting a big job done.
They go for it, feeling they need a big play here. In the shotgun, Merrill rolling right on the option, now tucks it in and gets hit at the 45-yard line. He's short of the first down, and the Streaks will take over.
Cole Spinks and company on the tackle that time.
Merrill slams his hands to the turf. He thought he had an opening. He thought he had the first down, and all of a sudden, he got stopped short in a hurry, and the Streaks take over with a minute 53 to go before halftime with a 20-0 lead and the ball 5 yards short of midfield.
Boy, and a rousing ovation for the players, not only from the fans, but their own coaching staff. I've not seen coaches Hickey and Barshinger that fired up in a while as that defense was able to fight off that penalty and fight off Quincy there.
Hickey's getting some airtime over there, isn't he? He looks like he's ready for the basketball court.
Is.
so just short of their own 45-yard line. Streaks with a three-touchdown lead. Hand off to the right side, stuck with the keeper. Close to midfield, taken down right at the 50-yard line. Good fake at the line of scrimmage. Good job hiding the ball. They bit on the initial fake, and that allowed Andrew Steck to get to midfield for a gain of six. It'll be second and a long four. Very impressive performance by the Silver Streaks tonight. Still a full half to play, and the Streaks with the ball handoff. Robert Jackson rolls through the hands of a would-be tackler, and he gets to the 44 to move the chains for a first down. Jackson looked very slippery on that run. And the Streaks get a new set of downs inside the Quincy 45. A minute 13 and counting for the Silver Streaks. Now in the shotgun. Steck with a snap. Hand off right side, and that one goes nowhere. A loss on the play. Let's see if the Streaks want to burn a timeout. And they do. So a loss of two on first down as Jackson's taken down for second and 12 back at the Quincy 47. Streaks have one timeout remaining after using this one with 61 seconds to play before halftime.
Blue Devils really chopped that play down, and this is an interesting call, up 20 to nothing to take the timeout here. You got second and 12, and if we don't get substantial yardage here towards the sticks, you might see Quincy take a timeout.
Because the Streaks have shown that kicking is a problem tonight.
Right. You know, they may be thinking about getting one more possession before this half is over. I had to laugh, you know, when you're talking about Coach Hickey getting, and he did, he got some good air when he was jumping up and down. And I remember back when Brian Dennison was the coach. Remember that time he got airborne? Even the opposing coaching staff said, boy, we knew things were going wrong when Dennison was in the air over there. He's now the athletic director up at Aledo. Has been ever since he left Galesburg.
Mm-hmm.
Or, excuse me, Mercer County.
Oh, that's right. So many co-ops and changes and consolidations. If you take a day off, you might miss what the next one is. All right, Streaks have second and 13 from the Quincy 47-yard line. 61 seconds to play first half. The toss to Chaz Benton. Trying to get to the outside. He's running laterally. Now cuts it upfield down to the Quincy 40. Inside the 40. Close to the 35-yard line. And not quite enough for the first down. But Benton finally got to the corner. And when he did a nice job cutting upfield. Finally taken down at the 37. It'll be third and three. And another timeout. Clock stopped with 54 seconds to go in the second quarter.
Yeah, when the players come rumbling this way, we all know it comes in a hurry. The flag, everybody just drops and gets back because you think, well, I got a little distance, but then we've had several area incidents this year.
Oh, there was a flag. I never saw the flag. There was a flag on the play, so there was no timeout. The clock was stopped.
Oh, holding call.
So it's a hold on the Silver Streaks. So I never did see that flag come down. So a hold on the Silver Streaks. More penalties tonight than we've seen for the Silver Streaks, and some bigger ones that we've seen this season. So now back in Galesburg territory at the 44 with 54 seconds to play. And now movement by the Quincy line, or was there movement on the Galesburg side? Is this going to be offsides, or is it going to be illegal motion? The officials talk it over, and it's offsides against Quincy. So I definitely saw the movement into the neutral zone there. The only question was there movement by Galesburg as well? There was not, so a five-yarder against the Blue Devils now. Their fifth penalty of the night for 30 yards. That takes it up to the 49 again. So back and forth we go. Still 54 seconds on the clock. Streaks run the same play. Fake to Benton. Under pressure. Screen pass. Caught by Robert Jackson. Quincy 45. 40. Run down at the 35-yard line. Very close to a first down.
Very nice play. Well executed. Good call from the sidelines.
And the officials stop the clock because they want to take a look at this. The ball is just across the 35, close to the 34. From up here, it looks like it's right at the stick. The referee comes over, and he's going to eyeball it. Taking a close look at it. He might want a measurement here. Nope. Looks like he's going to say it's short. So third and inches for the Silver Streaks after the screen pass. And he still has it. Now he's waving to the sideline. Ah, he's got to get the down marker on the chain gang moved up.
It was almost as good as a timeout.
Sure was. Third and inches for the Silver Streaks. Steck. Nope, the handoff. Right side Benton. Big hole to the 30, down to the 25, to the 23-yard line. They didn't just go for the sneak. They went for a lot more and got it. Down to the 23, and the clock stops to move the chains with 35 seconds to play.
Keep in mind, with Carlson out, I don't think a field goal is a consideration. So we're looking touchdown if we're going to score here before the half. And we do get the clock stopped to move the chains again here, so we're benefiting from this. And
yeah.
Now I think we're going to take a timeout. Is that right? Yep.
A timeout by the Silver Streaks. So, yes. So that is the last timeout for the Silver Streaks. They took one earlier on a scoring drive after a Quincy penalty, as Coach Wes Olson didn't like the way things were looking defensively for the Blue Devils, so he used a timeout earlier. The Silver Streaks have used two timeouts on this drive, which started at the Galesburg 45. It crossed midfield, then on penalties went back behind the 50-yard line, back into Galesburg territory. And now, after a couple of big plays for the Silver Streaks, they have moved it down to the 24, almost the 23-yard line. Jim, I really like the play call. Of Steck, not to keep it on the dive and just go for more.
Sure, because Benton is a threat if you can sneak him through there. One guy was kind of hanging on to his left leg. That's all that kept Chaz from getting more yardage out of that. And I really liked the call before, that little swing pass. I don't think Quincy was ready for that, and that to Jackson got us some good yardage. And so now, with 34 seconds left, do you just haul back and take a couple shots at the end zone? Or I guess you would maybe try and run wide and turn a corner and get out of bounds to stop the clock if you don't get your yardage. But I have a hard time seeing us doing much inside here with a half a minute, no timeouts.
So coming out of the timeout, just under 35 seconds to play before halftime. Galesburg trying to build on a 20-point lead. Back to pass, under pressure. Steck gets it away. Carl wide open, and Steck overthrew him in the end zone. It's the same play that worked earlier, but this time Steck, under a little more pressure, had to get it away quickly. I don't think he really got a good look downfield, and he just had to throw it to a spot, and Carl wasn't there. Incomplete second down. After all that,
I hate to miss an opportunity like that because it was there.
But he was open.
We got a couple of more cracks at it. That only took 4 seconds.
First incompletion of the night for Andrew Steck. Now the handoff to Diggins, running to the near side, 20. Bounces off a man, gets out of bounds, just short of the 15-yard line. So that play does what it needs to do, moves the Streaks deeper into Quincy territory and stops the clock with 25 seconds to play, down to the 17, a gain of 7. Trayvon hasn't carried the ball much tonight, but that was a good one. His third carry of the night, he's up to 11 yards. Down to the Quincy 17. This started back at the minute 53 mark. We're down to 25 seconds to play as the Streaks try to build on a 3-touchdown lead. Single setback. Steck rolling out to the near side, rolling to the home side of the field, still looking downfield. Now throws it to the sideline and just gets rid of it. Falls incomplete, out of bounds. Good job by Andrew. He strung that one out as long as he possibly could, looking and waiting and waiting and looking, and finally just threw it away to stop the clock with 18.8 seconds to play in a third and, or rather a fourth and five coming up.
Clock cool. No, it had to stop. He was out of bounds. 18 seconds. So now we're at fourth down. We'll lose it on downs if we don't pick up one, two, three. It's a long three. I'd call it more like 4 yards here.
Yep. Streaks leading 20 to nothing. And with no reliable field goal kicker to go for a 34-yarder, Steck lines up in the shotgun on fourth and five. Good snap. Pump fakes, now tries to break up field, and there's Quincy penetration in the backfield, and Steck gets stopped at the 20 for a loss of a couple. D'Angelo Dean broke through, and Steck was just going to duck and take off after dropping back, and Quincy read it perfectly, so the Streaks give it up on downs. But only 15 and a half seconds to play, and the Blue Devils have it at their own 19-yard line. So the Streaks certainly would have liked to have gotten into the end zone there and tacked on another one before halftime, but if nothing else, they have taken out almost all of the remaining time in the second quarter, and Quincy doesn't have a lot to work with and a long way to go here. But don't think that they can't pull one off here with 15 and a half seconds to play. Merrill lines up under center, rolling to the Quincy sideline, now steps back toward the middle. He's flushed out of that direction. He'll reverse directions to the Galesburg side. Big block frees him up in the backfield. Tries to get to the sideline, and the Streaks finally catch up and run him down in Galesburg territory, and a late flag comes in close to the Galesburg 40-yard line. I think we're going to have a late hit.
We've got a late hit. We've also got a holding penalty back here on Quincy. Kendrick, number 84, who's already had two personal fouls in this game, picks up the holding flag that's sitting back here at the 30.
Well, that got the loudest cheer of the night against the Quincy Blue Devils, or for the Quincy Blue Devils, and the crowd is not going to be happy when they realize that there is another flag down besides the one that came in late. And that takes another 12 seconds off the clock. So after the officials get this one all sorted out and explained to everybody what's going on and how they're going to handle it and where the ball's going to end up, there's only going to be less than 4 seconds left for Quincy to run another play. And they are still talking it over just in front of the Galesburg sideline. Standing at about the Quincy 45-yard line, we've got a hold against Quincy, as Jim said. We've got a personal foul with the late hit against the Silver Streaks as the play ended out of bounds downfield. And now he's calling over, the referee is calling over Cole Spinks for the Silver Streaks and the quarterback for Quincy, Mitch Merrill, to explain it to the two captains. And the side judge is getting an explanation from one of his colleagues on the official staff. And still a discussion between the referee and the captains as they explain what all happened and where this ball is going to be. This is where microphones like they have in the NFL and a lot of college games now would be really helpful.
There'll be a number of football games ending around the area right now. We're not even at halftime yet here.
This basically is just going to end up back at the line of scrimmage, isn't it? Or
looks
maybe
like
not.
It.
No, there are going to mark. It's actually going to. Where are they going to put it? Are they going to put it at the 20? So somehow Quincy gains a yard out of all that.
Well, there they get five.
Oh, now, okay, all right. So they're marking off the hold, and now they're marking off the 15-yarder against Galesburg. So they walk back the 10 from the hold. Now they walk forward the 15 against Galesburg. So it's up to the Quincy 35-yard line. But the good news out of all of this for Galesburg is now there's only 4 seconds left, and Quincy has to take this one 65 yards. They line up with three wideouts to the near side of the field, the Quincy side. Merrill, I'm assuming he's going to line up in shotgun, and now Rick Little calls timeout for the Blue Devils.
I'm glad we're home and not on the road tonight, man. This is almost quarter after nine, and we're still trying to get to halftime. But we can laugh being up 20-0. The Streaks, outside of this quirkiness here in the last minute, they played a great half of football here tonight.
Good thing the homecoming dance is tomorrow night.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, you wouldn't get much dancing done tonight. Our school, a lot of them used to actually do
yeah,
it on Friday night.
I know. That's just what I was thinking.
You know, you get the gym all decorated. By the time that, you know, you get done with the game, if it ran late, you shower and get all dressed up.
It'd be curfew. Everybody could have to go home.
Pretty close. Punch bowl would be about empty. Everybody standing around waiting on you. But the king this year couldn't arrive because he's out there wearing number 50, Cole Spinks.
And the queen as well. Dana Cliff is a drum major for the band. So they're all getting their chance to perform in front of a big, big crowd tonight. And the Galesburg faithful has loved it so far. We have 3.7 seconds to go before halftime. And now more whistles as we come out of the timeout. And both sides were ready to run what would probably be the final play of the half. And now three wideouts to the near side. How about this? Mitch Merrill, the quarterback, is lined up as a wideout to the near side, with the backup quarterback, Schuster, rolling to the near side. He's looking Merrill's direction. He throws it downfield, and Carl bats it down incomplete at the 48-yard line, and that's how the first half ends. And a great first half for the Silver Streaks, who after two quarters of play lead the 5-1 Quincy Blue Devils 20-0 at homecoming. When we come back at halftime, Jim Lee had a chance to visit with Galesburg High School boys head golf coach Dean Betts. What a terrific season they've had heading into sectional play next week. We'll hear from Coach Betts about his Silver Streaks boys golfers when we come back on the halftime show with the Silver Streaks leading 20-0 at Van Dyke Field. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
You know what's a pain? The cost of propane. How much are you planning to spend this winter? Take a few minutes now to consider a hybrid heating system from Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. This hybrid system constantly compares inside and outside air temperatures and switches between two energy sources to keep your home at the temperature you want automatically. It'll help take the pain out of the cost of propane. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill.
Rumor has it I'm fussy. Especially when it comes to what I eat. The label needs to say gluten-free, and I better not see wheat, corn, or soy on the label either. That's why my owner shops Thorns and comes home with the tastiest meals, like the new line of canned foods from Eagle Pack. Turkey, beef, chicken, or lamb. They're a meal by themselves or a nice side dish. I can't get enough.
Thorns Pets and Supplies on Seminary Street in Galesburg, dedicated to improving the bond between you and your pet.
Taking a look at the official WGIL forecast tonight. It is brought to you by financial advisor John Herman at Wells Fargo Advisors, LLC, serving you in the same location for over 10 years on Henderson Street in Galesburg. Member SIPC. Tonight, clear low 52. Tomorrow, sunny high of 85. Tomorrow night, clear low 55. Then Sunday, sunny high of 84. And Sunday night, partly cloudy skies, low 54. Right now, it's 72 at Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the Galesburg Electric Halftime Report. Galesburg Electric on South Henderson Street in Galesburg. The station Galesburg tunes to for news, talk, and Silver Streaks football. Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
On the Silver Streaks Halftime Report for this homecoming Friday night, we turn our attention to the Galesburg High School boys golf program. They captured the regional this past week up at Highland Springs Course in Rock Island. Coach Dean Betts joins us here on the halftime, and Coach, congratulations, first of all, and I understand that while you won the event, you felt like maybe you could have played better.
First of all, thanks for having me on. The kids played very well under the conditions that we played in. The weather was absolutely perfect, but the greens kind of gave us some fits. We had 33 putts that day, and that's not like us, so... we were just happy to even get out of there, let alone win in the regional.
You're up at Rock Island's Highland Springs. Is that a course that the kids are pretty familiar with? Do they like that course?
We've only played it once. We played it last year. We played the back, but we went up for a practice round on Saturday, and the greens were pretty slow. But then they double cut them on Sunday, and that's what makes that course very, very tough. They got huge greens, a lot of breaks. And depending on where they put the pins, it can give you fits, and that's what we had trouble with.
We talked about that course, and I suppose that really comes into play, doesn't it, Dean, as to what course they're playing a certain match or tournament on as to how well the kids do?
Yeah, I mean, all the courses are totally different, throughout the state. So, I mean, when we play out to Bracken, I mean, those are little target greens. If you hit greens, you're great there, but you don't have very far to putt the ball. Out to Bunker, where we play most of our matches, not a lot of breakage. They're medium-sized green, not a lot of breakage. So, fairways and stuff are pretty much the same. Some of them are tighter, but the greens are what really come into play.
Yeah, and, there are other area courses, certainly Sewanga-Taha, and you played at Laurel Greens there last week. The kids just tore that course up. They must have enjoyed that.
Yeah, that's a very, very short course for the kids. I mean that's very, very short. When I was a Knoxville coach over there, we set the school record over there for Knoxville. And I told these kids, I said, you have a chance to set our school record for the 9-hole, because they set the 18-hole last year. And I said, you could set the 9-hole course record here just because it's going to be chip and putt. So we were only 3 strokes off of that one, so... We played very well there, too.
Yeah, I think everybody was at least, 38 and under, weren't they?
Yeah, we had everybody in the 30s. We had 138, and everything else was below. So, yeah, they played very well there.
Okay, so you got the regional win at Highland Springs, and now you're on to the sectional. Tell us about where it's at and what you need to do you think, to be able to have a chance to win that one, Dean?
Well, it's over to Kellogg, over to Peoria. One good thing, most of the kids played there in some summer tournaments this past year. So they're kind of familiar with it. It's a course that kind of suits us, I think. But there's a lot of good shooters there. I mean, a lot of good shooters. I mean, we just barely got by Dunlap, and that's their home course now. Those kids play it all the time. We got Peoria, Notre Dame coming in that they play there all the time. So a lot of schools that are going to be there. I mean, it's going to be a fight to get out. We're just looking to advance. I mean, hopefully we're in the top three and we get to go on.
Is there a particular, as a team, a part of the game that you've been stressing that you need to improve on, or with several kids, you know, having their own strengths and weaknesses, do you have to work with them on an individual basis?
This group works very hard in the off season. You know, all the pros around here, you know, they all go to certain pros. They all have swing coaches. They do a phenomenal job. You know, really, a golf coach at the high school level, it's more the mental game than it is anything, keeping them focused. Because once you start, you don't have a lot of practice time. I mean, it's match after match. And these kids have approached it the right way, though. I mean, they play a lot of tournaments during the summer, and you know, when we are working on our chipping and putting or whatever, when we're hitting stuff on the range and everything, they know what they got to work on, and that's what they work on. You know, they're not just out there banging away drivers. You know, if they have to work on their 150-yard shots or their 100-yard shots, I mean, that's what they do.
You know, you mentioned the mental side of it, and that's important in every sport, but so much in golf. In fact, I remember this last week when they had the Ryder Cup, they said the fellow from Europe coming down the stretch, he said he was more nervous than he's ever been in his life. In fact, his club was shaking in his hand, and this is a pro, so you can understand the pressure that sometimes comes, especially when I'm sure these kids realize how important the shots are for their team coming down the stretch.
Well, you know, it's the mental aspect of golf, like you said, it's major. I mean, a lot of people don't understand, but I think that is probably 85% of the game. I mean, when your mental attitude is good, everything's fine. I mean, because you're hitting good shots, everything's fine. But when you're not hitting good shots, and with golf, it's not like basketball where it's coming right back at you if you make a mistake. I mean, here you put the bag on your back and you walk for 150, 200 yards, and you're thinking about it the whole time. So, but I think these kids have matured, you know, to the point where it's not that much of a factor as it was last year as sophomores. Because, you know, I mean, Logan's really the only senior that we have, him and Chris Fields, and these kids have come a long way in that capacity.
You know, you mentioned a couple of the players. Go ahead and run down your scores, the guys that will be going on to sectional, and tell us a little, just briefly tell us a little bit about them, if you would.
Well, Logan Scott, like I said, is our lone senior there, that's in the top six there. Logan has just been, you know, he's our captain, and he's been very, very consistent for us this year. He's the one that we've been looking to just kind of lead us through. You know, he's had a couple of rounds he wasn't real happy with, but, I mean, by most standards, people would love those scores. So he's just very, very solid player all the way around, and I think he's going to be the one that leads us through here. And then have Kelby Reston go. All the rest of these guys are juniors, so, you know, they got another year. But, you know, like I told them, you know, let's get it done this year as far as we can go. So.
Well, and Dean, it seems like, I look at the leading scores, and almost every day it's a different guy. And so I guess that's a good thing for the team, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a great thing. We had a big talk about that. You know, we told them, we said that, you know, if you're not playing well, you know, hopefully your buddy steps in and takes care of you. And that's what we've done. You know, I mean, we've had a couple of rounds. Like the other day, Joey didn't play well. I mean, he'd been the one that had been holding us up. He didn't play well, but a couple other guys stepped up and played well. So,
all right.
But we have Kelby there. He's probably one of my most solid players. I mean, I bet you he played 15 to 20 tournaments during the summer. So he approached it that he wanted to go all the way this year. Mm-hmm. So. And then Jacob Sweeter, he's another junior. Jacob really shouldn't even be playing. He got in a motorcycle wreck during the summer. They didn't think that he'd even be playing at all. I mean, he broke his leg, had a lot of reconstructive surgery there. And, I mean, he's out there playing away for us. And he's been very, very solid. And then you have Joey Juergens. Same thing there. Joey held us up for the Western Big Six in our invite. I mean, we kind of rode him. And then he kind of faltered, like I said the other day, but the other guys picked him up. And then Chad Moore stepped up as we were looking for that consistent sixth player. We really didn't have it. And Chad stepped right in, and he's been playing very, very well in the 18-hole matches.
So as you work towards sectional now, Coach, what is your schedule for these guys? Do they play, I'm assuming, every day, or do they take Sunday off and catch a breather before they go out Monday? How does that work?
No, we've got a tee time over to Kellogg on Sunday at 11:56. So we'll go over and play a practice round over there. We played last night out to Bracken. We'll get another round in tonight. And then, of course, homecoming's tomorrow night, so we won't do anything tomorrow night. But then Saturday, all the guys will get together, and they'll go either to Tswangtaha or probably back out to Bracken or Bunker to play again. So, I mean, they're very, very dedicated. So hopefully we got everybody going in the right direction now.
Okay,
and then we have I knew I was forgetting somebody. I don't have my sheet in front of me. Kyle Osborne, because Ozzy's been the one that's just – he's always there. I mean, he's probably our most consistent guy over the last 2 years. If we ever have to have that fifth score, if it ever comes down to that, if he's not in our top four, we know that he's going to be there and we're going to win because he's been the guy that always shoots consistently from like 77 to 80 on any given day.
All right, sounds good, Dean. Our time is up as we approach the second half. Thanks, as always, for your time, the great job you and the kids are doing out there representing Galesburg, and good luck on Monday.
Well, thanks a lot for having me.
All right, that's GHS golf coach Dean Betts with us on the Halftime Report on WGIL.
Broadcasting from the Galesburg Radio Center downtown.
WGIL, Galesburg Radio 14.
Local news now.
Abbott Laboratories says it is withdrawing its diet pill Meridia in the U.S. and Canada almost a year after studies showed the drug increases the risk of heart attack and stroke in patients with a history of heart disease. Meridia has been available in both countries for more than a decade. Abbott says it made the decision at the request of the Food and Drug Administration. Earlier in the day, Health Canada, the nation's health department, announced the drug would come off the market there. Chicken and noodles are a big hit every year along the Knox County Scenic Drive, but Jerry Wood, Scenic Drive committee member, says don't forget about the homemade apple dumplings in Maquon. The United Methodist Church is serving up the tasty treats this weekend once again, as well as a number of other dishes. This is the final weekend of the Knox County Scenic Drive with stops in Knoxville, the Wolf Covered Bridge, and elsewhere. I'm Emily Ford. Top stories at home. Top stories from around the world. This is Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pam Husso. It could have been far worse. A California elementary school locked down after a gunman started shooting at kids on a playground.
People very worried about their children, and their children very happy to see them. I'm thankful that this part of this incident is over.
Carlsbad Unified School Superintendent John Roach, two construction workers tackled the suspect, two students suffered minor injuries. Authorities giving the all clear in Connecticut after explosives were not found in a tractor trailer. The driver and a passenger had been taken into custody at gunpoint. The foreclosure mess widening for Bank of America. Foreclosure sales frozen across the country amid allegations of mortgage fraud.
We haven't found any errors, and there's technical issues. We're checking our homework again, and we're making sure we get it right after it's been checked multiple times. And as soon as we do, we'll continue the process.
Bank of America CEO Brian Moynihan. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Hello, Dick Dick is Sliding Windows and More, where we don't return your phone calls, forget about you after the sale, and we specialize in really botching up your job. You've got Dick here.
Don't call Dick Diggis. Call me, Chris Niggas of CN Home Improvement, where we put our initials on every job. We're licensed, bonded, and insured, and a member of the Western Illinois Builders Association. We want to earn your business the old-fashioned way. Visit us at cnhomeimprovementinc.com or call me at 335-4182 for a free estimate today.
Silver Streak Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Sign Depot Express. Visit Lori just off the square on West Main for signs of all kinds. And by Galesburg Orthopedics, Drs. Kenneth Bussey, Michael Garnett, and Greg Reshire. Proud to bring you GHS Football on WGIL.
Red 22.
It's Patsy Michelle from Bates Collision Center.
Blue 45.
We're proud to support the Silver Streaks football team and cheer them on to another winning season.
What do you think of these drapes for my living room? Red for $22 or the blue for $45?
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Sports stories, sports scores, and more. Fox Sports Radio. Weekends on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Quite a first half for the Galesburg Silver Streak on homecoming. Back home for the first time in a couple of weeks. They've looked fabulous tonight, leading the Quincy Blue Devils 20-0. Sheer domination by the Galesburg offense and pretty much the defense as well. They have made Quincy look like anything but a 5-1 team here tonight. But the Silver Streaks have really taken it to the Blue Devils, but there's still two quarters of play left to go. So Jim Lee is down with assistant coach Jay Barshinger. The Streaks didn't even take their full time in the locker room, and understandably so. Jim, what does the coaching staff have to say?
All right, we'll find out. Well, Jay, one of the best halves I've seen the Galesburg football team play. That was impressive.
Yeah, it was a good half. I mean, we can't rest on that. We had to come back in the second half and do the same thing, but overall we're very pleased.
I've not seen the coaching staff be quite as excited in a long time. Coach Hickey and you, I was really cheering the guys when they come off the field.
Defensively, what a great job they're doing. You know, keep them contained. Offensively, moving the ball down the field, putting them in. Like to have that last one there at the end. Doing the two-minute drill there at the end and moved it down there, couldn't stick it in. But a lot of real positive things. And what we didn't want to do is have the letdown coming off of last week's real emotional loss and have a letdown. So we can really kind of keep people pepped up.
Well, like you say, avoid a letdown coming out of the locker room, because while you're ahead right now, they've still got an advantage in the kicking game. We want to keep a little comfort zone there, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. They're going to come out in the second half. They're well coached. They're going to come up with some things that try to adjust what we're doing, so we've got to be ready for things.
Okay, and offensively, you've mixed it up pretty well, but your bread and butter is still Robert Jackson inside.
Yeah, Rob's having a great game. He runs the ball hard. Andrew does a good job getting the ball and people blocking for him, so it's been very successful. You know, we're going to give him some more Rob in the second half.
Touchdown pass was a thing of beauty. We went for a second one, just a little too strong.
Yeah, absolutely. We had him open. Jared made a good route, and Andrew made a good pass the first time, and like you said, just overthrew him a tad the second half.
Okay, more of the same. Go get him.
Okay, thank you.
Brad, back to you.
All right, and these numbers will show exactly what the first half score reflects as well. 20-0 Galesburg after the first two quarters of play. On the ground in the first two quarters of play, Quincy, 14 rushes, only 19 yards. Mitch Merrill passing in the night, 1 of 3 passing for only 3 yards. Casey Schuster got an incompletion on the last play of the first half. The only completion of the night for the Blue Devils went to Drew Forrest. For the Silver Streaks, 27 carries on the ground tonight for 177 yards, led by Robert Jackson, 17 carries, 116 yards, and a touchdown. Andrew Steck, 5 carries, 31 yards, and a touchdown, and a two-point conversion. Chaz Benton carried the ball twice tonight for 19 yards. Trayvon Diggins, 3 rushes for 11 yards. Steck passing tonight, completed his first two. The last two were incomplete, 2 for 4, 43 yards, including a 31-yard scoring strike to Jared Carl. Robert Jackson had the other completion, or the other reception, rather, for 12 yards. Penalties have been more of a factor tonight for the Silver Streaks, and we've seen this season 5 penalties for 55 yards, but nothing has been damaging enough to help Quincy get into the end zone as they've been shut out. Quincy, meanwhile, has had some problems of their own. 6 flags tonight for 40 yards. Blue Devils will have the ball beginning the second half. They are still huddling up at the 15-yard line, so a long conversation by this team. And I'm looking. I don't see a coach coming out of there. So that was a huddle by the players themselves. And the coaches kind of let them have their time there to motivate themselves.
9:35. This may be the latest start to a second half I can remember out here, at least for a long time. But, again, with a 20-0 lead, play till midnight. I don't care if we go ahead and win this game and get ourselves back over the 500 mark. And we're going to need to play, sounds like, probably as well. If next week we got Moline and they're just crushing United Township up there tonight, we'll have them on their senior night. And, you know, it's like I told somebody, they said, well, we never beat Moline. I said, well, at some point we've got to.
That's right.
But we've got a half to go yet to beat Quincy tonight, so we better take care of that first.
Defensively, the Silver Streaks have been fabulous in the third quarter this season. Until last week at Rock Island, they had not given up a single score. That remains the only touchdown they'd have allowed in the third quarter. They want to shut out the Blue Devils again as the kickoff is underway and the third quarter is underway. The kick taken by Robbins at the 16-yard line, still on his feet as he returns it across the 40 to the 42, and a late flag comes in by the referee. And it's against the Silver Streaks. So that is not how the Galesburg coaching staff wants this second half to start. A big return of 26 yards on the opening kickoff, and a flag will add yardage to it. And Quincy likely is going to begin the second half possession in Galesburg territory for only the second time tonight.
I'm still not sure what the call was there. It wasn't a personal foul.
Nope. Well, Quincy's coming to the line of scrimmage. They're ready to go, and understandably so, after getting the second half off to a good start with some momentum. And they'll have the ball in Galesburg territory at the 49-yard line. And now the referee finally gets his flag picked up, and we're ready to go. Streaks leading 20-0, and the third quarter is underway. Handoff fake left, goes right, middle misdirection, and another flag comes down. As the play comes to an end.
Aslan Butler, I think, he grabbed the jersey from the backside and dragged him down. I didn't think he got face mask. What a call. Is the horse collar rule in effect in high school?
Well, he pulled his collar and then signaled Galesburg. So
I thought that was just an NFL thing, but guess not.
So this takes it down to the Galesburg 33-yard line.
It's three major penalties on the streaks. I mean, with two to start this half and then one at the end of last half, that personal foul. So we need to get that squared away.
So a penalty on the kickoff return and a penalty on the first offensive play of the second half. And just like that, the Blue Devils have the ball at the Galesburg 33. The defense better step up. Handoff up the middle, and they do. This one goes nowhere. And the handoff goes to G.W. Scott, the fullback, who's had a hard time finding anywhere to run tonight. And it gets stacked up for a gain of maybe a yard.
Well, and with Stephen Harger in the middle there, they really haven't even tried to run that much. I mean, their big fullback just really negated by the size and strength of the streaks inside interior line.
Quincy had only 19 yards rushing in the first half. Handoff goes up the middle. There's a breaking free. Andre Gibbons finds running room up the middle. The play was slow to develop. He's got the touchdown. And Quincy strikes with a minute six gone in the third quarter.
Well, with that speed, you figure they're going to get a big play or two on the night. But unfortunately, we pretty well gave them the score. We let them go all the way down the field up until that run with our penalties.
Yep. So exactly what the Blue Devils were hoping for coming out of the locker room. 30 yards in penalties on the Silver Streaks. They ran only three plays, including a 26-yard kickoff return. And now the referee has to clarify something with Blue Devils head coach Rick Little before they try for the extra point. So Quincy is on the board, just underway in the second half. It's now 20-6, and suddenly, assistant Jay Barshinger indicated there at halftime, now you would feel a little more comfortable had we been able to punch that one in toward the end of the first half. Still a two-touchdown lead, but
it took them less than 2 minutes to put that one up.
Barely over a minute. A minute six. So Brandon White lines up for the extra point. He could kick this one all the way to the track. He's got that good of a leg. Silver Streaks get the rush, and he rockets one through. It gets between the uprights so high and so deep. You got to count on the referees to know for sure. 20-7. Quincy's now within 13 with 10:54 to go in the third quarter. This is Silver Streaks football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Breedlove's is the answer. If you were just asking yourself, so where would LeBron James and Lance Armstrong shop if they were in downtown Kewaunee? Breedlove Sporting Goods. And don't you want to shop where two of the world's greatest athletes would shop if they were in downtown Kewaunee? For team uniforms, sports equipment, custom lettering, screen printing, tons of shoes, spirit wear, and letterman jackets for all area high schools, and the top brands like Wilson, Rawlings, Louisville Slugger, and Adidas. Specializing in custom lettering, signs, trophies, medals, plaques, and awards. And the top shopping spot of LeBron James and Lance Armstrong when they do finally visit downtown Kewaunee. Breedlove Sporting Goods.
Silver Streak football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg, by Bob's Automotive on the corner of Chambers and East Main in Galesburg, and by Buffalo Wild Wings. Stop by after the game. Proud to bring you Silver Streak football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Stay in touch with Galesburg wherever you go and anytime you're online. Just log on to WGIL.com.
Minute six gone in the third quarter, 10:54 to play. We're just underway. Quincy will kick off here, and the Streaks will get it back on offense for the first time. But three plays, 49 yards, and an extra point makes it 20-7. And the Quincy sideline and the Quincy crowd has come to life, as that has gotten them some momentum here in the second half. White high steps it to the kickoff and kicks it to the far side of the field. It bounces short of the goal line, and Jackson has to pick it up inside the one. He waited for it, and the Quincy Blue Devils converge, and Jackson can only get back to the 11-yard line. Everything going Quincy's way here right now.
He did a pretty good job just to get it back to the 11 that time, and he was just, I thought he made the right play. He thought it was going to go into the end zone, but it just didn't quite have enough momentum. It died right at the one, and so he has to grab it and see what he can do. And you're right, Brad, the momentum all with Quincy. And, you know, it goes to show kicking his technique. Their kicker's 150 pounds. He's not a big guy, but he's got a strong leg, and he knows how to strike the ball, and he's becoming a factor here.
Streaks on offense for the first time in the third quarter, leading 22-7. Handoff goes up the middle. Not a bad hole for the Silver Streaks on first down. Have to play it a little conservatively here, and the offensive line continues to do its job. Robert Jackson gets across the 15 to close to the 17-yard line. Good gain on first down for Jackson, who gained up 116 yards in the first half.
A pivotal point of the ball game if the Streaks go three and out or only make a first down or two and Quincy gets a decent field position, it's game on. Now, if the Silver Streaks take this thing and march it, nice time-consuming drive down and go back up three scores, it's probably the ball game. So really a turning point here early in the third quarter.
Second and five, Diggins in motion. Handoff goes to the right side. Streaks offensive line pushing. Jackson tries to spin off a tackle, but he goes nowhere, stopped for no gain. I take it back. He got across the 20-yard line, and he'll be a yard short of the first down. That's why I don't watch the game through binoculars.
Well, if you're focused on the right thing, they're really helpful, but the minute the ball shifts or you're trying to see some other part of the action, it's hard to see the whole field.
Jackson's carried it 19 times for 125 yards tonight. Streaks are 4 of 6 on third downs tonight. This is third and one. Handoff goes to Chaz Benton, trying to get to the outside. Still a push for it. This will be close. Looks like he got across the 20-yard line and it got to where he needed to go. You've got a better look at where the spot is than I do, Jim. The referee waves his hands. Does he want to measure this? Nope, he immediately signals first down. Took a look at the sideline. No measurement. He doesn't like to bring the chain gang out, does he? He's looked at that several times tonight and nope, just move it.
It's got to be credit card thin before they're going to bring those guys. It's about the only delay this crew doesn't like. We've had after the first quarter went fairly quickly, that second quarter took forever. A lot of flags and stoppages of play, and this third quarter's off to a sluggish start as well.
And it was late in the second quarter, too. Most of the second quarter went along pretty efficiently. On a delay, handoff to Jackson, skips a man at the line of scrimmage, across the 30 to the 35-yard line, finally stopped at the 36.
And I think Robert probably upset that he didn't get more out of that. He got into the secondary, but then didn't know just which way to cut, ended up running into the back of Jared Carl out there. And that was probably the biggest thing that stopped Jackson there. Then Quincy comes over and finally makes the tackle, but running into Jared was the bigger problem.
Our name drawn in the Hungry Hobo Touchdown Contest, Tammy Qualls of Galesburg. If the Streaks score on this possession or any possession of the third quarter, if they can score a touchdown, Tammy Qualls of Galesburg wins a $10 gift certificate to Hungry Hobo in Galesburg. First and 10, Steck rolling right on the pitch to Chaz Benton, gets to the outside, past the initial line of scrimmage, stopped short of the 40-yard line. It kept him... Well, he does get out of bounds. Clock stops at 8:15 to go third quarter. Still early in the second half. Now it rolls. 20-7 Galesburg. Up to the 38-yard line, a gain of three. Second and seven for the Silver Streaks. And now whistles as both teams come to the line of scrimmage. Benton, four carries for 25 yards tonight. The officials are in among the Silver Streaks, talking this one over.
Apparently a clock problem. Everybody's looking at the scoreboard.
Well, the clock rolled. The clock was stopped at 8:13. Then it rolled. Now they've added, is that 4 seconds or 5 seconds. To 8:05 or 6. There's a couple bulbs out. I think it's 8:05. So second and 7 for the Silver Streaks. Single setback on the pitch to Chaz Benton. Deep. Now gets back to the line of scrimmage and across the line of scrimmage, across the 40. Knocked out of bounds at the 42-yard line. That was a deep toss by Andrew Steck, and I thought that could be trouble. But Benton is so quick, and he gets to the corner so fast that he was able to gain positive yardage out of that to the 42, and it'll be 3rd and 3.
Yeah, same as the play before. And Streak sideline over here was yelling for a late hit. Didn't get it. Jared Carl comes out for this play.
Nathan Mines lines up wide to the home side of the field for the Silver Streaks. Everybody else packed in tight. Benton lined up in the slot left. Now he goes in motion. Handoff on the misdirection. Trayvon Diggins coming from the outside, and he got blasted. Tried to find a hole across the middle, and it wasn't there. And Diggins got hit hard and stopped for no gain, and it'll be 4th and 3. And in their own territory, the Streaks certainly will not make the same mistake that Rick Little did way back in the first half when he went for it on 4th down in his own territory and got stopped. And 2 plays later, the Streaks scored. So protecting a 20-7 lead, the Silver Streaks certainly will punt here with less than 7.5 to play third quarter.
Andrew's not far behind center.
Another running punt. Dortch goes in motion. Steck rolling right. He is going to keep it. And he gets the first down. He got to the corner, got across the 45-yard line, up to the 47, moved the chains on 4th down. And what a call. What a gamble.
Yeah, when you've got your punter that doesn't go any deeper than he does there, and it happens to be a running quarterback, if you're the defense, that's the first thing you've got to be wary of. You let him kick on the run, but you don't want to let him turn that corner, and Quincy did. And, you know, that's where leadership comes into play, because Steck, he's all alone out there. That's his decision. If he doesn't make it, boy, there's a lot of second-guessing on that, but he saw the opportunity and a bold move to get the first down.
So up just short of midfield at the 48, handoff up the middle. Jackson trying to get to the outside, and he got slowed down from behind. He still crosses the 50 down to the Quincy, close to the 46-yard line. And that hole looked bigger than it ended up being as Jackson got through it. Looked like he might take off for a while, but Quincy did a good job of closing it down and bringing him down from behind. So a gain of 6 more. Streaks back in Quincy territory at the 46-yard line. 2nd down upcoming.
Well, how the days have changed. This Quincy team is much better defensively than most we've seen from Quincy, but not nearly as powerful offensively, and that used to be their bread and butter.
Whistles as the Galesburg Silver Streaks came set. Timeout by Wes Olson.
Hate to burn one here.
6:03 to play third quarter. Streaks will face a 2nd and 4 when we come back at the Quincy 46-yard line. Streaks on top 20-7. This is Galesburg High School football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Pekin Insurance for all kinds of people, for all kinds of reasons. Craddy Insurance, your local Pekin Insurance agency, understands there's more to insurance than the policy. It's the people who matter most. Craddy Insurance strives to offer you the most comprehensive policies, whether it be for your home, auto, life, health, or business, at premiums that will fit your individual budget. Call your Pekin Insurance agency, Craddy Insurance, for insurance that goes beyond the expected to make a difference for you.
This is Jeff Klink with Galesburg Nissan, wishing all the Streaks the best of luck this year. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square downtown. The area's leader in customer satisfaction. Visit us online 24 hours a day at galesburgcars.com.
WGIL and F&M Bank congratulate the Jack Larson Shoe Project, this week's Hometown Hundreds winner, nominated by Evelyn Meredith. Congratulations from WGIL.
2nd and 4 for the Silver Streaks coming out of the timeout. Quincy jumping at the line of scrimmage. They're pointing Galesburg's direction. The official comes over, and it is offsides. Quincy, that's a 1st down for the Silver Streaks.
Yeah, Matt. I think Matt Taylor on our right side actually jumped a little bit too, but it was after Quincy had gone into the neutral zone.
I don't see any hooting from the Quincy coaching staff.
No hooting allowed from the visitors.
There's no hooting in football.
No hooting on homecoming.
So now down to the Quincy 42-yard line after the 5-yard Blue Devil penalty. Their seventh of the night for 45 yards. So with Tammy Qualls, our name drawn in the Hungry Hobo touchdown contest, this brings up an interesting thought, which I'll get to after the streaks run first down here from the Blue Devil 42-yard line. Steck goes right. Bit of a delayed handoff to Robert Jackson. Looks like they didn't quite make a clean connection, but Jackson still gets across the 40, close to the 39-yard line. Tammy Qualls teaches with Streaks defensive coordinator Sean Hickey. So is there a conflict of interest here if the Streaks score, or is there only a conflict of interest if the Streaks defense scores a touchdown? Because they are partner teachers in the high school.
And it doesn't say offensive touchdown. So
that's right.
You get the sandwich either way.
But we do prefer an offensive touchdown here with Galesburg at the 40. Handoff up the middle. And it gets to the 35-yard line as Jackson, again, the workhorse tonight, gains another 5. And he's now off my stat sheet.
So far, this drive has been everything we'd hoped for.
Absolutely.
We want to finish it with points, but we've really taken some of the starch. Quincy was real fired up on their sideline coming out of the half and then getting that quick score. And now we're methodically moving it down. Big third down here. Let's try and convert this. Probably two down territory.
Third and 3 from the Devils' 35-yard line. Fake handoff. Steck with the pitch. Gets it away to Trayvon Diggins. And Diggins is run out of bounds at about the 30-yard line. They'll mark him at the 31, it looks like. But that's enough to move the chains for another Silver Streaks first down.
Yeah, I wonder if Diggins, as he gets a little deeper into his career, he's got a real straight up and down running style. Even when he gets hit, a lot of it's a face-to-face type of hit. I'd like to see him maybe lower that helmet down a little bit, drive on through. I think it would save him getting hit quite so hard, because you can really get blasted when you're straight up and down. And might get him a few extra yards at the finish of plays as well.
Silver Streaks have taken more than 6 minutes off the clock on this drive and a new set of downs. Right side handoff, Jackson.
Smothered.
And nowhere. Goes nowhere.
No, he ran into 78, Austin Whitenauer and friends. Big 76, Jordan Huber there as well, and they just swallowed up Robert. He had no chance and lost a yard on that play.
24 carries, 149 yards tonight for Robert Jackson, including a touchdown. The Streaks second of the night. Brings up second and 11 from the Quincy 32. Clock rolling close to the 4-minute mark of the third quarter. Galesburg on top 20-7. Diggins in motion. Handoff up the middle, and there's miscommunication, and the Streaks again go nowhere as Jackson gets crunched at the line of scrimmage and pushed back 5 yards. Forward progress. Does he even get back to the line of scrimmage? We're going to mark him at the 31, so he gains the yard back that he lost, and the Streaks face third and 10.
Junior defensive end Wes Irvin on the tackle that time for Quincy. He's a big one out there, 6'5" and 220, and some on the sideline thought maybe it was a little after the whistle, some of what he did on the tackle, but again, the officials have been pretty restrained on some of those calls here in this third quarter. And so now they have this big third and 11. I would think you got to see the Silver Streaks thinking about going to the air.
Galesburg 6 of 9 on third down conversions tonight. Steck on the drop back. Now rolling right. Under pressure and crunched back at the 42-yard line. A huge loss. Tremendous penetration by the left side of the Quincy defensive line. And the Streaks take an enormous loss.
Yeah, Brody Jansen with the tackle that time. And Andrew Steck looked like Jay Cutler back there. He had no chance. Galesburg offensive line looked like the Bears. They just let guys come through. Jansen, I think, was untouched. Somebody completely whiffed on a block on the right side of the Streaks offensive line on that one. And I don't think you'll see any fake punt here.
Now fourth and 20. Steck steps up. He was in punt formation. Now he's basically in the shotgun. Rolling right, and now he does get the pooch away on
awful,
the run.
Awful kick.
And out of bounds.
That's the danger of kicking on the run. This thing probably going to get Mark clear up the 30-yard line.
Especially running to the short side of the field.
Yeah. Oh, that's terrible. We might as well run a fourth down play from
walking,
where this
thing's going to
get
marked. Yep, they're going to give Quincy the ball back at the 29. Yep. At the 2:37 mark of the third quarter. So what the Streaks do well there is take 8 minutes and 17 seconds off the clock in an attempt to kill some of that Quincy momentum. But as efficiently as the Blue Devils move that opening drive, Galesburg's defense better be ready to go here. from the 28-yard line. Out of the wing. Hand off on the second man through. They try to get it to Givens again. Sidesteps a tackle in the backfield, and the Streaks with a tackle from the backside. Tremaine Carson chases down Givens, but not till he gets to the 36-yard line. He'll pick up 7 on first down.
And Holloway came up and did his job. He turned the play inside with his speed on the corner, but then not able to get an arm out there to make the tackle. Rest of the pursuit, a little slow, but at least didn't get a first down, 2nd and 3.
Andre Givens carried the ball 3 times for -8 in the first half. This handoff goes to the fullback Robbins. He breaks free into the secondary. It's a chase. 3 men. Benton coming up from behind. Holloway dives. Robbins falls into the end zone. A long touchdown gets Quincy back within 7. Robbins got a huge hole across the middle. And he was gone, 64 yards, and it's 20-13, Galesburg, just like that.
Well, we expected a great game. The first half, we had a great performance by the Silver Streaks. Second half, Quincy showing the lightning bolt. A couple of quick scores, and this is anybody's ball game now. It's about to be 20-14 with the extra point kick coming.
Let's see if the Streaks can break through and block a kick. They have shown the ability to do that. A high snap, they get the kick, the snap down, and a rocket through the uprights makes it 20-14 with a minute 53 still to play in the third quarter, and we've got a ball game. Homecoming from Van Dyke Field. The Streak still on top though by 6. This is Galesburg High School football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
We're giving the farmer the total package because we're able to offer the farmer all 3 inputs.
Dustin Weber of CPS in Oneida.
When we know what product you have, we know what kind of environment it needs to grow, and we can help the growers decide where they need to put it, and then we'll know what kind of fertility they'll need, fertilizer and chemicals to make that process work.
Your farming operation is too valuable to play games. Seed matched to the land you farm. Crop advisors you can trust. This season, choose Dynagrow and CPS.
Silver Streak football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Collins Communication, your authorized Verizon wireless retailer, next to Berglund Drug on Henderson Street, and by Dennis Twitty State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm and Dennis Twitty are there. Proud to bring you Silver Streak football on WGIL.
Involved with you and your community. Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Freshman Malik Robbins throughout the night. 3 carries for only 8 yards. But he broke a big one there. 64 yards, a 2-play scoring drive. And suddenly Quincy, which could do nothing offensively in the first half, has pulled within 6. The kickoff deep to Trayvon Diggins. Backs all the way up into the end zone, but he fielded it at the 2. So he's got to run it out. He's hit short of the 20 to the 17-yard line. And that's one where the Streaks would have been better off to let it go, because that one had a lot of steam. And unless it took an awfully funny bounce when it hit, likely would have been a touchback. But nevertheless, the Streaks, instead of starting at the 20, will have it at almost the 18. So it'll almost negate itself there.
I think Diggins was wanting to make a play there. We're trying to get momentum back. You know, he's certainly capable of taking one the distance. And put a good fight, but couldn't quite get it out to the 20-yard line. So now, boy, the tide has really turned in this thing. Silver Streaks mainly have just got to get some life back. They're dead on the sidelines right now. Quincy with all the momentum.
Stack on the pitch. They go back to Chaz Benton on that same deep toss. And Chaz runs to the right side trying to get the corner. And he does get to it, but ends up getting run out of bounds for a gain of about 3. You're listening to Silver Streaks football on WGIL, Galesburg Radio 14. A minute 39 to play in the third quarter. Quincy has scored on its only 2 offensive possessions that have taken a total of 5 plays to rack off 49 yards and 64 yards. Excuse me, 72 yards. The Streaks, meanwhile, took 8 minutes off the clock on their last possession but had to punt and now lead by only 6 as a result. Steck with the quick keeper on the right side, and he's just short of the first down on a good run.
Jackson with yet another carry that time as he rumbles out for not quite first down yardage, but Streaks continue to disguise the handoff pretty well, but Quincy knows somebody's going to be coming off tackle most of the time there.
Streaks are a yard short of the first down. Third and one upcoming, and a big, big third down conversion here for the Silver Streaks, even on short yardage. Handoff goes to the right. It is Steck on the keeper. He's got the first down and taken down across the 35 to the 36-yard line. The misdirection works at the line of scrimmage, and Steck helps the Streaks move the chains on a big, big third down conversion. Still a minute three to go in the third quarter.
Well, at some point, you'd love to see us break a big one. That's obviously maybe it's envy watching Quincy run those long touchdowns in. But, you know, we've played too well tonight, and, we've marched several times. And, the last drive of the first half and then the first drive of the second but came up empty on points. We've got to start to finish somehow.
Quincy creeping up the line of scrimmage. Handoff goes to the right side. There's some running room. This may be it. Down the far sideline. It's a sprint, and the Streaks get taken down inside the 10-yard line. Robert Jackson almost did exactly what you wanted, Jim. Trayvon Diggins is down back at the 50-yard line. Laying on his stomach now, rolling over on his back. And Denise Polworth, the athletic trainer for the Silver Streaks, is immediately out there. But Robert Jackson, boy, Jim, we'll make you the head coach.
Well, I didn't know how it was going to happen. I just knew that we needed something like that. And Jackson with his hands on his helmet, I don't know if he's just trying to get his breath right now or is upset because his running partner Diggins is down back here at the 50.
A gain of 52. His longest run of the season, and he's over 200 yards rushing on the night. 27 carries for 208 yards, and they are still tending to Trayvon Diggins at the 50-yard line. And Andrew Steck is standing about 4 yards away with his hands on his concerned hips. Already Cedric Washington is in for the Silver Streaks, as Diggins will have to come off the field one way or the other.
Greg Shire, the attending physician out here tonight, he's going to give him a hand, and he is up.
Helmet off. Looks like maybe he just got the wind knocked out of him. He seems to be walking off the field okay. Doesn't seem to be favoring his leg. Now he's got the helmet back on, and he looks like he's ready to run back in and for the next play, but he's got to sit out at least once. So that's a very encouraging sign. And the Gillsburg home crowd takes a sigh of relief.
Well, his mom came down here on the sideline, and I think he was like, oh, it's okay. Appreciate it, Mom, but I got other things to do here.
36 seconds to play in the third quarter. Yeah, nobody wants your mom coming out of the stands at the football game, right?
That got him to bounce up, I think, quicker than anything.
First down from the Quincy 12. Galesburg has some life back with 36 seconds to play third quarter. Up the middle it goes. Running room it goes. To the end zone. Did he make it?
Stopped at the one.
Robert Jackson stopped after a gain of 11. And it'll be first and goal at the Quincy 1. Robert Jackson. Boy, we talked about what a workhorse he was last week. It doesn't compare to this week. 28 carries for 219 yards.
Last play of the quarter. Let's punch it in, Streaks.
Clock rolling, under 10 seconds to play. Steck on the keeper. Gets down low.
He slipped. Streaks think he made it. I didn't think he got there.
His knee might have gone down. I mean, yep. The ball got across the goal line, but his knee might have gone down first. They give him the touchdown. The siren sounded at the end of the third quarter, and the referee raises his hands. They give him the touchdown, but we may have a couple seconds put back on the clock.
Well, if that one was in the NFL, Coach Rick Little of Quincy probably would have tossed that red hanky out, and we'd have had a delay to look at that. But it's one of those, he went in under the pile that, even if you had that thing on TV, I'm not sure if you'd really tell.
I thought the knee went down. I really did.
Yeah, because he definitely slipped.
So they line up to go for two. Now back on top by 12. Hand off to the right side to Jackson, and Quincy just explodes through the right side of that Galesburg offensive line, and Jackson comes up hopping. But now he puts his head down a little bit. Let's hope he's all right. The third quarter has come to an end, and with no time remaining, the Silver Streaks make a winner of Tammy Qualls of Galesburg. Andrew Steck with a one-yard quarterback keeper. It's 26-14. Fourth quarter action from Van Dyke Field coming up next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
This is Jeff Klink with Galesburg Nissan, wishing all the streaks the best of luck this year. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square downtown. The area's leader in customer satisfaction. Visit us online 24 hours a day at galesburgcars.com.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center.
The excitement of high school sports really takes me back.
Our team at Bates is proud to support the Silver Streaks for another winning season.
Hey, I think that guy just hit another home run.
Isn't it time for your nap?
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Silver Streak Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Dickerson's Photography. Timeless images for you and your family. By Office Specialists, where your office is their business. And by Shelter Insurance Agent Amy Howard on the corner of North Henderson Street and Home Boulevard in Galesburg.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
12 minutes to play on homecoming. Galesburg scores at the very end of the third quarter. A one-yard quarterback sneak by Andrew Steck finishes off a six-play, 82-yard scoring drive that takes a minute and 53 seconds off the clock. Galesburg had the ball better than 10 minutes in that third quarter, and yet they lost ground, but they still lead 26-14. A short kick, backpedaling of the Quincy Blue Devils, back to the 30-yard line. Trey Bladley returns it, now still on his feet, and finally forward progress stopped as the ball was all over the place, and they'll give him forward progress to the 30. That's where Quincy takes over. It's going to be a long 12 minutes for the Silver Streaks.
Yeah, this game still got a long way to go, especially with the big play potential we've seen from Quincy the last two possessions. And, I haven't mentioned this yet, but I'm going to mention it now that Quincy has the ball. Neither team has fumbled tonight. That's remarkable. I mean, a high school football game into the fourth quarter, nobody's put it on the ground. That's rare. So now I've jinxed Quincy, and maybe they'll cough it up here.
Quincy has fumbled the ball three times in conference play. Handoff goes to the left side. Still a scramble for it. Lots of hands reaching in there to try to make Jim Lee a prognosticator there. As the handoff went to the freshman again, Malik Robbins. Streaks were ready for him, but he still gained five. It was a hard 5 yards.
Well, Galesburg needs to get back to the defense that was so dominant in that first half.
They get their mojo back, right?
Yep.
Robbins comes to the sideline. He's a little shaken up after that play. He's got his hands on his hip, walking up and down the sideline. Looks to be favoring his right leg a little bit. Coaching staff talking to him. Now a pitch into the backfield to Givens. He broke one earlier. Tries to get to the outside. He's got the first down across the 40 to the 41-yard line. Took a pretty good shot at the end of the play, but he hung on to the ball and he moves the chains.
Yeah, Andy Holloway threw his body at Givens' legs and knocked him out from underneath, but not until they moved the chains. So Quincy apparently doing some nice adjustments at halftime. You got to give Coach Rick Little and his staff credit because they weren't moving the ball at all in the first half. And here in this second half, they've scored both times they've had it, and they've got a first down in their third possession.
They have run the ball for 121 yards in the second half compared to 19 yards in the first half. And now a false start penalty moves them back five. It'll be first and 15, their eighth penalty for 50 yards. Back to the 37-yard line. 10:55, a long 10:55 to go for Galesburg fans. Not enough time for Quincy fans.
Well, you know, I can't help but wonder on the two long touchdown runs. You know, Drew Carlson over here on crutches, one of our best linebackers, not able to play because of the injury last week. If not having him in there was a big part of that.
Streaks came blasting through. No flags down. The handoff goes to the left side, and here's some running room for the Blue Devils as it goes to Dan Girth, and he gets out of bounds close to midfield. Nope, they're going to say he stayed in bounds. Clock continues to roll. He stopped short of the 50, close to the 49-yard line, and a couple of yards short of the first down. Girth's first carry of the night. He ran for the only two touchdowns in a 14-13 win over UT last week, and he picks up eight the first time he touches the ball here.
Well, I'm sure it's no mystery. Quincy realizes there's pressure on this drive because, yeah, there's 10 minutes to go. But if they don't get a score here, they're down two scores. And Galesburg has shown the ability to run and work that clock and get first downs with the pounding of Robert Jackson and company. So while the Blue Devils have scored twice in a row, the pressure on, I think, to put up a third if they really want to have a shot in this one.
Both teams essentially playing for the playoffs tonight. The Streaks need two more wins A win for Quincy makes them playoff eligible. Hand off to the second man through. Gibbons running right, now tries to cut upfield. Gets stopped very close to the 50-yard line. It'll be a yard short of the first down.
Well, let's see. Who is in there? Jacob Ryden and Cole Spinks.
So a big third down opportunity coming up at the 50-yard line, third and one. Quincy has not faced third down in this second half yet. They're 1 of 5 on the night. Handoff left side, they've got it. And a little bit more, trying to break free. And the Streaks finally corral him as it's Robbins who's finally taken down inside the 35-yard line to the 34, a gain of 16. Up to 93 yards rushing tonight on just 6 carries for the freshman Malik Robbins, and a big third down conversion for the Blue Devils. Only their second third down conversion of the night. Clock rolling with 9:21 to play in the first half. And a pass, looking deep. Benton intercepts it inside the 5-yard line. Kendrick, the intended receiver, throws him down out of bounds at the 3. What a huge turnover that benefits the Silver Streaks.
Yeah, Benton almost got one in the first half. That time he did. He got in front of the intended target, the tight end Kendall Kendrick. Wouldn't let him get over to the ball and was able to pick it off, and all Kendrick could do was throw Chaz down after the interception. And so Quincy, I think, showing a little urgency there, not wanting to be patient and grind out that last 30, 40 yards, tried to get it all in one shot, and they pay the price.
Speaking of grinding out yardage, that's exactly what the Silver Streaks want to do here now. With 9:14 to play in the game, the first turnover of the night. Well, it wasn't a fumble, Jim, but you got what you were hoping for. Silver Streaks take over at their own 4. 9:14 to play in the game.
Well, and if there's anything to be second-guessed on the Quincy sideline, it'll probably be that particular play, because they were moving the ball on the ground, had just gotten a big run, and then go for the home run and get it picked off.
So now the Quincy defense hopes to turn the tables. The Silver Streaks need to get it out of the shadow of their own goalpost. Handoff goes to the left side. Good movement by Robert Jackson up across the 5 to about the 7.
Yeah. You know, we've talked about it before, but that's actually, it was Dortch.
Oh, it sure was. It was D. Dortch, his first carry in a couple of weeks.
You know, I was going to say, whoever came out of there, I thought it was Jackson, but that should have been a gain of about 1, maybe. And he was able to keep the legs going and picked up, gosh darn near, 4 yards out of that.
So Jackson gets a break. Remember, he came out on the last Silver Streaks drive a little gimpy. Didn't look to be too serious, but enough that he was a little slowed down. He's back in there, or rather, he's not back in there. That's Trayvon Diggins, who's back in there, which is good to see. Handoff goes to the left side. This will be close to the 10-yard line. Streaks facing a 3rd and 4 upcoming here.
That was end up being Jackson again.
And the official moves the ball back just short of the 10-yard line, so a pickup of 2 more. And 3rd and 4 for the Silver Streaks upcoming from their own 10-yard line. Clock rolling toward the 8-minute mark of this fourth quarter. Silver Streaks leading 26-14. And a big third down here for the Streaks, trying to protect a 12-point lead. Fake handoff. Steck rolling out. Flag down in the backfield. Intended for Nathan Mines, and he led him a little bit too much. Goes off his lead hand, and he would have been out of bounds even if he had brought it down. And I think this will be a flag against the Silver Streaks. I think we've got a hold in the backfield. And Quincy would be wise to decline this one.
Yep,
because with the Streaks punting difficulty or with the kicking difficulties tonight, they do decline. And the Streaks, Andrew Steck will be standing at about his goal line, maybe in the end zone.
Well, I think we'll see him in more traditional punt formation. Every other time there's been kind of that run kick option, but when you're back this deep in your own territory, I think you go ahead and take the deep drop and get a good look at that ball and give it a good whack. And so, yeah, we'll see Andrew 12 yards off the line of scrimmage, kicking from 2 yards deep in the end zone.
7:53 to play in the fourth quarter.
Pretty good snap.
Oh. And it's a high snap through his hands. He gets the ball and then gets tackled
out
of bounds. It'll be a safety.
Good play by Steck.
It sure was, because if he'd have been tackled in the end zone, that would have been a disaster. But he manages to get out of the end zone, and he'll sacrifice a safety So that pulls the Blue Devils back within 10, which with their kicking game, 10 becomes an important number here as they're going to get the ball back on the free kick.
Still, Andrew did all he could, heady play, because he sure didn't want to try and pick it up and bobble it and let Quincy fall on it for a touchdown. So as soon as he got his hands on it, he just flicked it out of the end zone because there were three Quincy players ready to pounce on him.
And the clock stops with 7:50 to play in the game, and the Blue Devils will get it back. But it's still a two-possession game. 10 points is the difference.
Yeah. If you had it to do over again, you really don't want to give up the 2 points, but I'm not sure. I guess it kind of depends on what transpires here on this. You know, we're kicking it from deep in our end zone. They're probably going to end up with the ball at the 30 or 35 anyway, if they run it back at all. And here with a free kick, you've got a chance to maybe set them back a little bit deeper in their own field position. Yeah, they're 2 points better for it, but this may not be the worst thing. We'll see. Looks like he's going to kick this ball for us. It's not going to be I think it's going to be Brackett.
I think so, too.
So Steck won't kick. It'll be Tyler Brackett on the free kick.
The junior lineman runs up and gets a high and very short kick. And Quincy fields it with a fair catch at the 41-yard line in Galesburg territory. So another challenge for the Silver Streaks defense. Quincy with a short field and 7:45 still to play in this game.
Well, the Devils have at least kept it interesting. A little more so than we'd want.
In some ways, the Silver Streaks have helped keep it interesting, aiding their first scoring drive of the second half with a couple of big penalties. Bad snap in the end zone there that gave the Silver Streaks no chance to punt it away, sacrificing a safety. Now, great field position for the Blue Devils. At the Silver Streaks 41-yard line with 7:45 to play in the fourth quarter, a 10-point Silver Streaks lead looking very precarious. Misdirection. The third man to touch the ball runs to the right side as he tries to get to the outside. A tremendous pursuit because Casey Schuster was ready to take it a long way, but they managed to stop him short for a gain of just 6.
Yeah, Cedric Washington, great job that time. His good speed allowed him to get over there with the lateral pursuit, and he just grabbed the jersey and flung him to the ground. So you're right, Brad, that could have been more than it was. Washington, a nice job in pursuit.
Actually call it a gain of 5. Second and 5 coming up for the Blue Devils. Toss into the backfield. They get it to Robbins, trying to get to the corner. The Streaks set him off there. He cuts up the middle and dragged down from behind. Jared Carl with a good tackle at the 33. Stops him short of the first down. It'll be 3rd and 2. 96 yards rushing tonight for Robbins.
Streaks were able to come up with some big tackles for losses in the first half. Have not seen that here in the second. This would be a great place for that on 3rd and 2.
Quincy, 2 of 6 tonight on 3rd down, and that's enough. Big push by the offensive line moves the Streaks defensive line back inside the 30-yard line down to the 29 as G.W. Scott gets his biggest run of the night. And it's a big one as well on 3rd down. New set of down for the Blue Devils at the 29.
Austin Finley will come in. Stephen Harger checks out. Quincy up to the line quickly here. Harger just trying to get off the field.
Gain of 4. New set of downs from the Galesburg 29-yard line. Fake handoff left. Now goes
there
right. Schuster. Aslan Butler can't bring him down. Schuster cuts upfield. Still in pursuit. Finally stopped, but not until he's almost to the first down marker. Looks like Schuster will gain 8 yards on first down once he got through the tackle of Aslan Butler in the backfield. Down to the 20. They'll give him 9. And Quincy with the hurry-up offense here has the Galesburg defense backpedaling on 2nd and 1. Merrill under center. Handoff to Robbins. Cuts upfield, and the Streaks read it well. Butler, Tremaine Carson there. We'll give Carson credit for the tackle, wrapping him up from behind, short of the 20-yard line. He'll lose a yard. It'll be 3rd and 2.
And for short yardage, Reiner will come out. Harger back in for the Silver Streaks. 2 down territory, obviously, for Quincy. 5.5 minutes to go. Devils are still down 10 points. They've got to score here one way or the other, either a field goal or a touchdown, and then get it back and score again. So the hammer still in the Silver Streaks' hands. Hopefully the defense can hold them out here.
3 for 7 on 3rd downs tonight, but 2 for 2 in this fourth quarter of the Quincy Blue Devils. Merrill, quick pass across the middle, and nobody there. In fact, the closest players to it were Silver Streaks, Chaz Benton, and Andy Holloway. And that was that quick hitter, the tight end Kendrick, was too quick. And I don't think Kendrick had even turned around to look for the pass when it sailed over his head.
Yeah.
Now fourth down.
And Kendrick is what? He's 6'1". He'd have probably had a bit about 6'7 to haul that one in. That ball had too much height on it.
And the Blue Devils call timeout on this fourth and two, which for them really may be the ball game with 5:19 to play in the fourth quarter and trailing by 10. Silver Streaks lead 26-16. We'll take a timeout from Van Dyke Field on homecoming. This is Galesburg High School football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Are you sure it's okay to bring this grill up to the stand?
Relax and have another shish kebab.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center, proud to join with the rest of the Silver Streaks fans to cheer our team on to another winning season.
Will you scoot over? I can't reach the fondue.
Bates Collision Center, we take the decision out of collision.
Silver Streak football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Sign Depot Express. Visit Lori just off the square on West Main for signs of all kinds. And by Galesburg Orthopedics, Drs. Kenneth Bussey, Michael Garnett, and Greg Reshire. Proud to bring you GHS football on WGIL.
Stay in touch with Galesburg wherever you go and anytime you're online. Just log on to WGIL.com.
Quincy will line up for the field goal here. So trailing by 10, Rick Little calls the timeout and he sets his team up for the field goal to try to get it down to a one possession game. And it's a direct snap to the kicker White, who throws it downfield. Incomplete! Incomplete! The intended receiver, D'Angelo Dean, a couple of Silver Streaks there on the defense, and he overthrows everybody, and Quincy gives it up on downs.
Well, they tried to go to Dean, who is 6'5", and the thought there being just throw it up high and he'll come down with it, but there were three Silver Streaks around him. Would have been an awfully tough catch, and I'm surprised, really, Brad. I think probably three play calls here on Quincy down the stretch have been a little questionable. I'm glad they've done it that way because it's worked in our favor.
It would have been a 37-yard field goal, perfectly within White's range. Hand off to the right side. D. Dortch with the carry. Advances the ball up to the 23-yard line. Silver Streaks take over on downs at the 21 and now look to run the ball and take a ton of time off the clock. They take over with 5:15 to play in the game. And we'll try to run this game out with a 10-point lead.
Well, you know, the one play, the interception, they got in a hurry, I thought, throwing the deep ball. Then on third and two, that little short pass, you know, you got two downs. Why not punch it inside twice and get your sticks moved? And they didn't do that, and then that led to the fake field goal that didn't work.
Well, especially with the big play capability that they have with those running backs. Chaz Benton gets wrapped up by the jersey and then gets pounded out of bounds. He was wrapped up by two players, and then another Quincy player came in and shoved them all three out of bounds at the 21. So they end up losing a couple yards as Benton tried that deep toss from Andrew Steck, but running to the short side of the field, he ran out of room quickly, so the Streaks gain two on first down, lose two on second down.
Yeah, and situational football there, too. You don't want to get thrown out of bounds. But that just cost us. We could have run another 40 seconds off the clock. As the case is, it stopped now. We're already at third down and long.
Third and 10. Out of the wing tee. Fake handoff in the misdirection. Diggins has some running room at the 30-yard line. Dragged down from behind, but he's got the first down. Big hole across the middle. Diggins got through it quickly and enough to move the chains on an enormous third down conversion for the Silver Streaks.
That one should pretty well seal it unless we have a turnover here. I know there's still 4.5 to go, but to keep possession, get three more downs here, keep the clock rolling. Quincy, again, still two scores away, and I'm still shocked that they didn't kick that field goal because their kicker could, I think he could make a 40-45, and he had the wind a little bit at his back here too.
Worth noting that Robert Jackson is not in the game on this drive. It's Dortch, Benton, and Trayvon Diggins, and somehow Andrew Steck comes out of a pile at the line of scrimmage and bursts forward to the 38-yard line for a gain of 5. That play looked to be stopped, and all of a sudden, underneath the pile, here comes Andrew jumping out for a gain of 5.
Hey, Jackson over here on the sidelines, Brad, good call. He's couldn't see him behind all the Silver Streaks, especially from the press box, but he's being over here tended to. Looks like he's either foot or ankle being worked on. Look like it's he doesn't seem to be any great pain. They're just putting some ice on his, like his toe right now.
28 carries for 219 yards and a touchdown for Robert Jackson tonight. But it's Diggins, Benton, and Dortch as the flags fly as this play gets started. Still 3:17 to play in the game. Streaks feeling a little more comfortable with the ball in their hands. Approaching the three-minute mark and a 10-point lead as they managed to stave off that Quincy drive that ended on downs. And this will go against the Silver Streak, so the 5-yard gain just got negated. Lots more flags tonight than we've seen by the Silver Streaks on the season.
That's probably my fault, too, because the Quincy announcers asked me if we'd been penalized much. I said, no, we've been playing pretty clean football until tonight.
A lot of intensity by both of these teams with so much to play for in Week 7 here. Silver Streaks trying to keep their playoff hopes alive. Up the middle it goes.
Steck kept it again.
Across the 35 to the 36. And it'll be 3rd and 7 upcoming here after a gain of 3. A little spirit from the Galesburg sideline there, huh?
Yeah, they're barking it out. Robert Jackson still, he's sitting over here and he's still yelling at the guys out on the field. And he's probably earned the rest of the night off. Let's hope that doesn't hurt us any.
Under 2:40 to go in the game. To the right side and nowhere. Steck faked the handoff to D. Dortch across the right side, and Quincy wasn't buying it. And they take Andrew down for a loss back at the 32-yard line, and the Blue Devils stop the clock with a timeout at 2:34 to go in the game. They have one remaining in anticipation of a punt upcoming. So they lost 4 on the play. It'll be 4th and 11.
Doesn't look right now like we'll see any more Robert Jackson. He's still got the foot up over there on the bench.
And again, with a 2-possession game here, a 10-point lead for the Silver Streaks, things have to go just right for the Quincy Blue Devils, but the fact is, with their explosive capabilities, we've seen it in this second half, a 3-play scoring drive and a 2-play scoring drive. One went 72 yards, the other one went 49 yards, aided by a couple of Silver Streaks penalties on the shorter scoring drive. But they did it very quickly. Keep in mind, the Silver Streaks had the ball more than 10 minutes in that third quarter, and Quincy scored twice. So they could certainly get off a big play here. And with an onside kick, just like Galesburg did last week up at Rock Island, could recover. And that's what the Blue Devils are hoping for here. So this game is by no means over with 2:34 remaining and a punt upcoming for the Silver Streaks.
Well, we've got to have a better snap on the punt that we had last time. The
Definitely.
Last one was over Andrew Steck's head. He's actually backed up a little farther even for this one.
Malik Robbins, Andre Gibbons back to receive for the Blue Devils.
Good snap.
Steck gets it away, spinning end over end, bouncing at the 42, takes a Galesburg bounce. Gibbons fielded it up high across his shoulders on a spinning hop, and it almost went over his shoulder. And Trayvon Diggins was there ready to clobber him, and Gibbons just basically got the ball wrapped up just enough before he got popped. And Quincy does have possession at its own 30. But scary moment for Rick Little.
Yeah, that couldn't have worked out any better for us because Andrew got a nice foot into it. A low end-over-end kick that when it hit, took a nice Galesburg bounce. And like you said, Diggins was ready, if not to make the tackle, to recover that if they couldn't handle it there.
So with 2:27 to go in the game, Quincy at its own 30. Handoff right side, trying to get Schuster to the outside. He escapes one tackle, escapes another tackle, gets taken down inside first down territory at the 42-yard line.
Couldn't
That's what Quincy needs. They stop the clock to move the chains.
Yeah, sorry, couldn't get away from Carson, though. Tremaine with some good speed over there and a solid tackle, and Cole Spinks came over and finished him off.
2:20 is where the clock stops. Now they roll it as Quincy comes set to the line of scrimmage. Schuster, the backup quarterback, has been an effective offensive player in the second half. Here's some penetration in the backfield. And Carson with a huge hit in the backfield wraps up Robbins from the jersey and spins him down at the 35. That's a loss of 7. And the clock continues to roll under 2 minutes to play in the game.
That's where when Tremaine can go east to west and flow, you know, he knows they're trying to turn corners here. They're not trying to go straight ahead with time limited. And he can smell it right now. Tremaine Carson, all the linebacking crew, this is where they really can have some fun.
Wide open offensive set with three wideouts to the far side of the field. Schuster in at quarterback looking right. Now he steps up in the pocket. Still with the ball, scrambling around. Trying to get free for an open look downfield. And the ball is batted away on the deflection. Almost picked off as Jared Carl goes up and knocks it down for the incompletion.
Heck of a play by Jared Carl. He was actually leaning one way and reached back with his hand the other direction and knock that thing down. That's a good athletic play by Carl that time.
You think he didn't need every inch of that 6'5" frame to pull that off?
His height made that all happen. It makes my back hurt watching the way he turned his body that way to make that play.
So third and 17 for the Blue Devils. A minute 27 to go from the Quincy 35. The quarterback, Merrill, back in. Lofts it downfield in single coverage, and it's complete at the Galesburg 25-yard line. Man-on-man coverage between Kendrick and Chaz Benton. And Kendrick just got in front of Benton to pull down the reception.
Yep, that was the difference there. The last two plays, Benton had got in front of Kendrick. That time, Kendrick got the possession, wouldn't let Benton around him. The big guy made the catch.
Down to the 23-yard line of the Silver Streaks, and Merrill spikes the ball. And I liked what Andy Holloway did. Immediately got on Chaz Benton, immediately got him by the helmet and looked at him and said, do not live with that play. Shake it off and get back to playing defense. I mean, I don't know what that's what he said, but what it looked like.
Yeah, because there's a lot of football to play. You hang your head, and you'll end up getting burned again.
That's right. So after the gain of 42 on the pass play, second and 10 after the spike. Now Merrill under pressure, flag down at the line of scrimmage, rolling to the near side, under pressure, and a good open field ankle tackle by Carl again. The ball popped loose, but it was because he went down on the ground. A great job by Jared Carl on that tackle as Merrill was looking. And that stops the clock with a minute 4 to go. And let's see what the flag is. It's against the Blue Devils.
Holding against Quincy, and that was thrown right where they were trying to block Ryan Ricketts. Whoever was trying to get Big Ryan there got a little more than they should have and drew a flag. So a good play on both ends of that for the Silver Streaks. At this point, I guess you take the penalty, just anything to move them back a little farther.
And I would sure think so. So this will mark it back 10 yards for the Blue Devils. 9 penalties for them this evening. So it certainly hasn't been a cleanly played game on their part either. And that takes it back to the Galesburg 33-yard line. First and 20 now. Merrill. Hands off to Gibbons on the fullback option, looking downfield to Merrill, who's wide open at the 10. He's counted, and it's a touchdown. And Gibbons comes high, stepping off the field, looking at the Quincy sideline, pumping his chest. The helmet is off. Quincy has gotten within 4 with 52 seconds to play in the game.
It was remarkable he got that off because he got crushed by Hurd and Dortch. They both came in and just blasted him, but he got it thrown just before they got there and really kind of launched a prayer up there, and it was answered.
To the quarterback, Mitch Merrill. The high snap, the kick is the shortest one of the night, but it's good enough, and the Blue Devils have pulled within 3 with 52 seconds to play in the game. It's 26-23 Galesburg. Well, the Silver Streaks games the last 2 weeks against undefeated opponents have come down to the final minute or less. And for the third week in a row, it'll come down to the last minute again. On first and 20, the halfback option, Gibbons throws it downfield to the quarterback who was wide open, and he threw it right where he needed to throw it. Merrill caught it, and it's 26-23.
Good hands team will be put up front on this because Quincy's only hope is to recover an onside's kick. Certainly is possible. We saw the Silver Streaks do it last week against Rock Island.
Yes, indeed.
Unfortunately, we couldn't move the ball after that, but we had our chance. And Quincy, again, keep in mind, if they do get the kick recovered, they've got a big leg kicker, and they're only down 3. So
right.
Overtime is a possibility, but it won't be. If we can recover this kick, it'll be game over. The Streaks will have survived a game that's, I can't say it's been all Quincy in the second half. They just made 3 big plays. And the Streaks fans swooping it up, trying to get their team to finish the job here.
Six plays, 70 yards, a minute 35 off the clock. We're down to 52.4 seconds remaining in the game. Quincy for the onside kick. It's away for the short end of the field, and it bounces up high to the Galesburg sideline. There's a scramble for it. It's a Galesburg 45, and the Blue Devils have it. The ball bounced short of the 50-yard line, so it did not go 10 yards initially, but then it took a high hop, and it went over the Galesburg players' hands. Now Galesburg has it. Now the officials indicating that Galesburg has the ball. There was still a scrum for it on the far side of the field. No way to tell from over here in the press box what was going on there. Much of the home crowd couldn't see it because the Galesburg players were all huddled around there. And somehow Galesburg does get it back at the 45-yard line.
Well, the officials waited until they got to the bottom of the pile. And I can tell you what happened. Blaze Rose of Quincy had that ball. When he was going to the ground, there were two Silver Streaks defenders, or I guess you shouldn't say receivers, on either side of him. Rose apparently gave the ball up in the bottom of the pile because it was, I think it was Diggins that came out of there with it.
I'll be darned.
But when they went up for it, Rose, it bounced. He went high, grabbed it, and was going to the ground with it. But when they unpiled it, he didn't have it anymore.
So with 47 seconds to go in the game, Quincy has called timeout. Coach Rick Little is standing next to the side judge. All the other four officials are standing out in the middle of the field, and he wants somebody to come over. He wants an explanation, and now the referee is coming over with his hand cupped to his ear. And Rick Little is saying, I want an explanation. We had that ball.
Yeah, because just in the looking across the field and seeing what he did, he had his hands pulled him to his chest, basically, like you said, Brad, to say, hey, we had that ball. I don't know what happened at the bottom of the pile. He could even see it from the far sideline over there. But to no avail, I'm sure he asked Rose about it as he came off what happened. And his player, I would guess, would say, well, I had it, but they stole it from me under the pile.
So the Silver Streaks will have to take a knee or two. And that is it.
Well, Quincy probably leaves the field feeling like maybe they were the better team and just ran out of time. I don't know if that's the case, but.
Tale of two halves, that's for sure.
Galesburg was certainly the dominant team in the first half.
Yeah, holding Quincy to only 19 yards rushing. And the Silver Streaks are going to survive. And the crowd, in realization of what's happening, comes to its feet.
Quincy takes a timeout.
That's the last that they have. 27 seconds remaining, and the Silver Streaks will have a homecoming victory. And the home team has won in this matchup each time since 2005. Quincy in the odd-numbered years at Flynn Stadium. Galesburg in the even-numbered years here at Van Dyke Field. And this time it'll be a homecoming celebration in another 27 seconds.
Well, it sure is interesting. We talked about the last two games, Alleman and Rock Island, where we got behind early and then played so well late and left the field feeling like if we had a little more time, we might have won. Well, Quincy comes to town. We play great in the first half. Quincy walks away with the same feeling we had the last couple of games, like, well, you know, maybe we just should have got on the ball a little bit earlier. But, you know, we said going into this Western Big Six campaign, we looked at the non-conference results. We saw what had been done. We thought we'd have a lot of close games, and my goodness, we are in this conference this year. It's as balanced as we've ever seen.
What a fun year it's been so far, huh? We've still got another week to go, and the Silver Streaks will be playing next week to become playoff eligible. With their fourth win of the season tonight, just 20 seconds away as Andrew Steck takes a knee for what will have to be the last time. Quincy is out of timeouts, and the players line up on the sidelines, ready to head to midfield for the post-game shaking of hands. The sophomores fell tonight 45-27 in what was a close game until midway through the fourth quarter. This was not a close game until midway through the fourth quarter, and it came right down to the very end, and the Quincy Blue Devils almost pulled off the rally, but it's the Silver Streaks who prevail, hanging on by their fingertips, 26 to 23. They're now 4-3 on the season, back even at 2-2 in the Western Big Six. That's where the Blue Devils are as well, and 5-2 overall. They'll need another win in the last 2 weeks of the season. At home against Rock Island is the task next week, as the Blue Devils need one more win to be sure of getting into the playoffs. We'll talk it over with Streaks head coach Wes Olson. We'll look at our post-game statistics, give you the Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. All coming up when our post-game show comes up next from Van Dyke Field on Homecoming. This is Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Silver Streak Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg, by Bob's Automotive on the corner of Chambers and East Main in Galesburg, and by Buffalo Wild Wings. Stop by after the game. Proud to bring you Silver Streak Football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
This is Jeff Klink with Galesburg Nissan, wishing all the Streaks the best of luck this year. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square downtown. The area's leader in customer satisfaction. Visit us online 24 hours a day at galesburgcars.com.
I can check out books, go see my doctor, get my groceries and other necessities, eat lunch with my friends. After my car was beyond repair, I decided to try the bus. I was afraid I'd be giving up a lot by not having a car. That wasn't the case at all. If anything, it's forced me to be on time now.
Just 60 cents per one-way trip, or get a month of unlimited rides with a $20 City Pass. And if you're 65 and older, you ride free. Stop by City Hall, the transit office, or ask your driver for details.
I'm Craig McCluskey. Use Galesburg Transit. Catch us now.
When you trust, you rely on the strength, integrity, and ability of another. For over a century, families in Galesburg and the surrounding communities have put their trust in OSF St. Mary Medical Center. Our physicians, family practitioners, and staff work hard to earn your trust every day through the use of the latest technologies and procedures, providing a comfortable environment for you to discuss treatment options as well as prevention, giving you confidence that you are receiving the highest quality health care possible. OSF St. Mary Medical Center. This is healthcare.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL has been brought to you by Galesburg Electric on South Henderson Street in Galesburg, by Bates Collision Center on East Main Street in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. By Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee, by Craddy Insurance, 1197 North Henderson Street in Galesburg, for all your insurance needs. By OSF St. Mary Medical Center, this is healthcare. By Crop Production Services and Dyna Grow Seed, by Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg. You better call Dave's. By Galesburg Nissan, just off the square in downtown Galesburg. Once a customer, always a friend. By McDonald's in Galesburg and Knoxville, I'm loving it. By Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. And by Thorne's Pets and Supplies on North Seminary Street, building a better bond between you and your pet. Stay tuned for the Silver Streaks Football Postgame Show on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Taking a look at the official WGIL forecast tonight. It is brought to you by financial advisor John Herman at Wells Fargo Advisors LLC, serving you in the same location for over 10 years on Henderson Street in Galesburg. Member SIPC. Tonight, clear low 52. Tomorrow, sunny high of 85. Tomorrow night, clear low 55. Then Sunday, sunny high of 84. And Sunday night, partly cloudy skies, low 54. Right now, it's 72 at Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Galesburg High School Silver Streaks Football.
Still on his feet, and he takes it in for a 20-yard touchdown run. The 30, the 20, the 10, touchdown! Downfield, inside the 10, touchdown!
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks Football continues with the post-game show.
A lot to talk about in this game tonight. Silver Streaks prevail on homecoming 26-23. Thanks for being with us on the postgame show at Van Dyke Field. Let's go right down to the field. Jim Lee is with head coach Wes Olson in our postgame interview, brought to you by Crop Production Services of Galesburg. Jim?
Okay, well, Coach, a lot of things to touch on tonight. First of all, congratulations. A good win over a pretty good Quincy team tonight. Let's go back all the way to the first half, which seems like a long time ago, but that was a dominant, one of the best halves of football I've seen Galesburg have on both sides of the ball for years. You had to be pleased with that first half.
No question. We made very few mistakes, and guys came out and did some good work up front, and certainly we're ready to play, and that's what we, you know, talk about, is just playing each play the best of our ability. And our guys did that, certainly. It was great. Like you said, I don't know if we could ask for much more. I think they stopped us a couple times, though, that we were real close. One time that down there in the red zone, we'd like to have got something out of that, but our boys played hard, and that's a great thing.
Well, and the defensive side, Brad was showing Quincy had just 19 yards rushing in that first half, and you shut him down on that side of the ball, too. Even with Drew Carlson out, so you had some changes in that linebacking core, and it seemed like they responded pretty well, at least in the first half.
Yeah, well, we moved Cole, and, you know, the inside stack backer, and put Peanut in there at Mike backer, and you know, those guys make plays. It's a pretty quick linebacking core we got in there. Those guys are all, you know, pretty athletic and been playing for a while. So it's, you know, why we run the defense. And so the 3-5 defense, because we feel like we got more of those guys than what we have big guys up front. So, you know, I can't say enough how well our defense played in the first half. And, you know, certainly in the second half they got us with some things. And you know, we'll take from it what we can and go back to work on Monday and certainly get ready for a tough Moline team.
You'll have to look at the film, but from where you stood, what was the key for Quincy being able to get their runners free there for the long plays in the second half?
Well, I think tackles that we made in the first half, all of a sudden those guys run hard. They did some switches there, put some of their scat backs in back there who were running extremely hard, and we missed a few tackles, and that causes big plays. You know, we always talk about how, you know, missed assignments, bad angles, and poor tackling leads to big plays, and certainly they had several of them in the second half.
They tried to go for it all after their running game was going pretty well. They threw the long ball down here toward the end zone. Chaz Benton got the big interception. A little later on, the tight end got the better of him, and those guys just kind of jockeyed for position all night, didn't they?
Well, it was a true battle in the Western Big Six, you know, tonight, and those guys over there in the blue, those coaches did a great job. They kept us on our toes all night long, and their boys played really, really hard. And you got to give them credit for what they did. What a great game.
There was some trickery on both sides. We go with the fake punt, and probably a decision that you leave in Andrew Steck's hands when he comes around that end, whether to kick it or to run with it.
Absolutely. It's great to have a guy like Andrew back there who's a pass, run, and punt threat option. It's a triple option punt, so to speak. And so, yeah, we've developed that rugby-style punt that we got from Augustana College, and we think it puts the ball in a pretty good athlete's hands.
And, of course, they tried the fake field goal, which really surprised us because their kicker's got the leg to do that. Was that a real surprise to you that they didn't kick that thing?
No, we've been repping that and working that. I think nothing surprises us when we face Coach Little's teams. We know that he has a history of being kind of exotic in his play calling. And so, you know, we just try to stay at home and do the best you can. Their boys played hard. They got some great kids. And, you know, just proud of the way our guys came out and finished the deal tonight.
We showed Robert Jackson over 200 yards rushing tonight. He was sitting for the last 5 or 6 minutes. Right now he's standing, though. What do you know about him?
Just a little banged up, I think. He's just, you know, he's just not very tough. I'm just joking. No, he's something with his foot. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure. But he'll be fine. He's a tough kid and a great, great, you know, one of our best football players. There's no question about it. And it's such a blessing to be able to coach him.
All right, and finally, tell us about this onside kick. When it initially came down, I thought Blaze Rose, number 25 for them, had the ball, but when they unpiled it, Diggins had it for us. What happened there?
You know, what goes on at the bottom of the pile stays at the bottom of the pile, but I know that, Trevon Diggins is a tough kid, I know that, and he did something and fought for the ball and ended up coming up and held the ball up, and I was so proud of him. He led our win cheer tonight, and again, what a great kid, another outstanding kid to coach. You know, all our boys worked really, really hard, and this is just such a great group, and they have two more games ahead of them guaranteed, and I think they're going to continue to make progress and get better, and that's what we'll have to do on Monday to get ready for the Maroons.
Sounds like you got a little film watching on Monday and a short practice, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're at that point of the season where our guys are kind of banged up, and shoot, they've been doing this for a while now. There's no sense to, you know, keep drilling them into the ground when we're, you know, we're not a two-platoon team. We get in there, do what we have to get done, and we get out. And so I try to keep our guys fresh, and that was our theory this week. I think it helped. We came out in the first half real, you know, real ready to go, and hopefully we'll have the same type of start against the Maroons.
All right. Do me a favor and beat Moline. I've never seen it happen in 15 years here. Go get them.
Well, we just take a play at a time, but certainly they'll be a formidable opponent, and it is long overdue for us.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
Thank you very much.
What goes on at the bottom of the pile stays on the bottom of the pile. And there's the story of the game right there. Silver Streaks prevail 26-23. They're 4-3 on the season now and 2-2 in the Western Big Six Conference. A chance to become playoff eligible with a win over Moline next week. And that'll be on the road at Browning Field. We'll take a timeout on the postgame show. When we come back, we'll take a look at our final statistics of the game. We'll recap the scoring very quickly for you, and we'll give you our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time player of the game. 26-23 the final. The Streaks win on homecoming. More postgame coverage coming up from Van Dyke Field on WGIL and WGIL.com.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do. Who do you call? Who can you trust to make your car look like new? Where there's only one name you need to know, there's only one place to go.
Dave's Auto Body.
You better call Dave's.
Silver Streak Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Collins Communication, your authorized Verizon wireless retailer, next to Berglund Drug on Henderson Street, and by Dennis Twitty State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm and Dennis Twitty are there. Proud to bring you Silver Streak Football on WGIL.
This is Jeff Klink with Galesburg Nissan, wishing all the streaks the best of luck this year. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square downtown, the area's leader in customer satisfaction. Visit us online 24 hours a day at galesburgcars.com.
Are you a diehard sports fan?
Prove it! Head to the Athletic Holy Land.
The Zone Mecca of sports equipment apparel.
We love sporting goods in downtown Kewaunee. They have uniforms for the team, athletic shoes, spirit wear, letterman's jackets for all area schools, sports equipment, and they do custom lettering screen printing. And of course, they carry all the hottest brands like Wilson, Rawlings, Louisville Slugger, Adidas, Holloway, Pro Celebrity, and more. And when it comes time to pay homage to your local sports stars, call Breedlove's for trophies, medals, signs, plaques, and awards. Breedlove's Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Everything sports.
Imagine if someone would pay you for living. Pekin Insurance new return and premium life insurance policy does just that. Your beneficiary will receive the full death benefit if something happens to you, and the policy will return the amount you paid in premiums if you're still living at the end of the 20-year term and have kept the policy in force. Talk to Craddy Insurance, your local Pekin Insurance agency, about a money-back guarantee on your life insurance. Return and premium life insurance. That's coverage that goes beyond the expected.
Silver Streak Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Dickerson's Photography, timeless images for you and your family, by Office Specialists, where your office is their business, and by Shelter Insurance Agent Amy Howard on the corner of North Henderson Street and Home Boulevard in Galesburg.
Red 22.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center.
Blue 45.
We're proud to support the Silver Streaks football team and cheer them on to another winning season.
What do you think of these drapes for my living room? Red for $22 or the blue for $45?
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
WGIL and F&M Bank congratulate the Jack Larson Shoe Project, this week's Hometown Hundreds winner, nominated by Evelyn Meredith. Congratulations from WGIL.
Prevail on homecoming tonight, 26-23, in another thriller. These guys are going to become the heartbreak kids, the way these games are turning out here, coming down to the final minute, as they have the last 3 weeks. Our postgame statistics brought to you by Thorns Pets and Supplies. Let's take a look at the Quincy Blue Devils first. We finished the evening on the ground with 182 yards on 30 carries, led by Malik Robbins, the freshman, 9 carries for 88 yards and a 64-yard touchdown run. Andre Gibbons carried it 7 times for 38 yards, 31 of those coming on his touchdown run of the night. The backup quarterback, Casey Schuster, carried it 4 times for 28 yards tonight. Mitch Merrill, the starting quarterback, 4 carries for 14 yards. And G.W. Scott, the fullback, 5 carries for 6 yards tonight. 30 for 182 and a couple of touchdowns for Quincy on the ground. Through the air, a little bit of everybody got involved passing the ball tonight. The starting quarterback, Mitch Merrill, 2 for 6 with an interception and 45 yards passing. Casey Schuster was 0 for 2. But then it was Andre Gibbons on the halfback option who ended up with the touchdown pass for the Blue Devils. One pass, 33 yards, went to the quarterback, Merrill, a 33-yard touchdown reception. Kendall Kendrick also had a 42-yard reception. Drew Forrest had one catch for 3 yards. Quincy finishes with 9 penalties tonight and 60 yards. Blue Devils were 3 of 8 on third down conversions, but 0 for 3 on fourth down conversions. And the Silver Streaks defense on the season now, and we've talked about this from time to time, but we didn't get really to it during the game tonight. Quincy 0 for 3 on fourth down conversions. The Silver Streaks have now held their opponents to 1 of 15 on fourth down conversions this season. Taking a look at the Silver Streaks offensively tonight, 56 rushes for 320 yards and 3 touchdowns, led by Robert Jackson. 28 carries, 219 yards, and a touchdown. Next up, Andrew Steck carried the ball 14 times for 39 yards, and he had a couple of touchdown runs and ran for a two-point conversion earlier in the game as well. Chaz Benton, 7 carries for 30 yards tonight. Trevon Diggins, 5 carries for 26 yards. Dee Dortch ran it a couple of times for 6 yards tonight. Passing the ball tonight, Andrew Steck completed his first 2 passes of the evening, and the first of those 2 completions was to Jared Carl, a 31-yard touchdown that got the Streaks ahead 12-0 at the time. Steck finishes 2 for 5, passing for 43 yards. The other 12 yards went to Robert Jackson out of the backfield. The Silver Streaks finish with 8 penalties tonight for 90 yards. Silver Streaks outscored the Blue Devils 20-0 in the first half. We're outscored 23-6 in the second half and 9-0 in the fourth quarter, but held on to win the game tonight, 26-23. They're 4-3 on the season now, 2-2 in the Western Big Six. Quincy drops to 5-2 overall and also 2-2 in conference play. Moline got its first win of the night in conference play, so that's who the Silver Streaks will have to face next week at Browning Field. And Alleman knocks off the Rock Island Rocks. Pioneers are in the driver's seat now for the Western Big Six conference title. When we come back to Van Dyke Field, we'll wrap up our homecoming coverage with the Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game on WGIL and WGIL.com.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do. Who do you call? Who can you trust to make your car look like new? Where there's only one name you need to know, there's only one place to go.
Dave's Auto Body.
You better call Dave's.
Precision placement to me means putting the right variety on the right field.
Kurt Emkin for CPS in Yates City.
At CPS, we know the fields. We have fertility records. We work closely with the growers, and that helps us have a little advantage to putting the varieties where they need to be. And the end goal is to just try to remain as profitable as possible.
Seed matched to the land you farm. Crop advisors you can trust. One-on-one services to maximize your profits. This season, choose Dynagrow and CPS.
This is Janet's Monopoly at McDonald's moment.
All right, ready? Of course I am. Ready's my middle name.
It's actually Sylvia.
This is big. I could win a beach vacation or a $5,000 Walmart shopping spree. I like both of those things very much.
That's true. Her online dating profile specifically mentions long walks on the beach and shopping. Not necessarily in that order. Monopoly at McDonald's. The simple joy of winning. No purchase necessary. In-store game ends 11-1. Online game ends 11-15. 13 or older to play online. See official rules at participating McDonald's for details. Monopoly is a trademark of Hasbro.
News, talk, sports on WGIL.
Silver Streaks get a homecoming victory here at Van Dyke Field. Hanging on to the very end and holding off the Quincy Blue Devils by a final of 26-23. Our last order of business is the Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. Jim Lake, can there be any doubt who it is this week?
Well, not now. I initially was going to go for the second straight week with Robert Jackson because, you know, when Quincy was getting the big scores and we were just needing to somehow counter with a big play of our own rather than this 3 yards in a cloud of dust business. And no sooner we said that, Robert took off and went all the way down to the 10-yard line, set up our final score. And I'm thinking, well, there's your play of the game.
Yep.
Right up until the end where we had to get the football back, and on that onside kick it looked for all the world like Quincy had recovered it, and somehow Trevon Diggins in that pile, when they finally unstacked it, he comes away with the football, and nobody really knows how, but that was a game saver for us, because who knows the way this game had gone if Quincy gets that football with, 50 seconds left.
On Galesburg's side of the field, it was at the 45.
Yeah, who knows what happens in this craziness after that, so Diggins clearly the game-saving play right there, and so we've got to go with Trevon for the big play tonight.
Out of all the senior leadership on this team,
a sophomore.
It becomes a sophomore who preserves homecoming and a victory for the Silver Streaks. So Galesburg's 4-3, and in the big picture, a win next week gets them playoff eligible. Whether or not it's enough to get in, that would remain to be seen until after week 9, depending on what happens the rest of the way, but Galesburg got exactly what it needed here tonight, and awfully nervous at times, but it just shows how balanced the Western Big Six and how much fun this conference is this year.
And we will have to play every bit as well as we did in the second half yep. last week, and in the first half this week, if we want to go up there and beat Moline, don't look at that record. They played a tremendous non-conference schedule. They've been beat up. They've had a lot of injuries. They got some of those guys back. Just ask UT tonight. They got hammered. And the Streaks are going to have a big job at Browning Field. It'll be senior night for Moline. I consider us a little bit of an underdog going up there, believe it or not. But, you know, again, if we can put four to quarters together the way we know we can play a couple at a time, there's no reason we can't break that long string of losses to the Moline Maroons and in the process put ourselves in the playoffs. But it's going to take a great effort next week.
In the meantime, we'll just enjoy a victory here tonight because it was worth every second that we got out of this one here tonight. Great game, and we thank you for being with us. We thank Chaz Pig for his studio engineering job tonight to keep us on the air and to keep things going for this thrilling finish here at Van Dyke Field. For Chaz Pig, for Jim Lee, I'm Brad Benowitz. 26-23 the final. The Streaks win it tonight. Good night from Van Dyke Field.
Thanks for listening to Silver Streaks Football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL. This has been a WGIL sports presentation.